this. 100 laps, 5 to go at the line. 5 cars nose to tail heading down into turn number 1. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
It's definitely crunch time. Somebody's going to have to make a move. 3 laps to go as they cross the start finish line. Going down into turn number 1. They start to fan out. Coming off a 2. They're side by side down the back straightaway.
Inside Florida Racing.
That's it. Coming off a turn 4. White flag in the air. Checkers or wreckers. Anybody's race as they go down to turn number 1. They fan out. 2 by 2. 3 wide coming off the turn number 2. They get sideways down the back straightaway. Someone breaks loose to the top, trying to make the run up on the high side. Going to do it the hard way around. Coming around 4, there's still 2 by 2. 3 cars drop back. It's 1 car coming out sideways. Who's on the inside? Coming to the line. It's anybody's race.
Inside Florida Racing.
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 And welcome to another edition of Inside Florida Racing. Carol Wicks, take it away.
I'd like to welcome Rob Elting, who's filling in for Jason tonight. And we have in the studio
Gary LaPlante from the Florida Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks.
Welcome to you.
How y'all doing? It's Rob Elting right here, a.k.a. Bonehead, sitting in for just Jason tonight, actually. Where is Jason tonight?
He has some trouble with one of his children is in the hospital, and he had to go take care of it.
Which is not good.
Not good and perfectly understandable. We'll try to find out a little bit more about that later on.
We may not be as funny, but we'll handle it, right?
I'll tell you what, this guy... this is funny, and I didn't know this. I've worked with him a little bit before, but until we started doing this show, I had no idea. This guy can impersonate anybody. He's like having Robin Williams here. You got to keep a lid on him because he starts, huh? He gets on a roll. He starts imitating people, and it's too funny. I mean, it's off the charts.
I don't do many impressions.
Yeah, well, I don't either.
I can be a bonehead pretty good.
I have a hard time being myself.
We have with us tonight also Danny and Troy Yates from the Sportsman Division at Charlotte County Speedway, Charlotte County Motorsports Park.
Yeah, you better get that right.
I got it right. Billy Bigley Jr., whose two boys are racing up at DeSoto.
Corey and Dylan.
Scott McAllister, promoter of Columbia Motorsports Park.
He's actually the announcer. Hey, we're giving him the title promoter, but he's really the announcer.
I'll give him a thrill once in a while.
Yeah, give him
it's okay.
A thrill. Scotty needs a thrill.
And very important guest from the Karnak message board, OSF, will join us tonight.
And Jay Middleton, the blast from the past. You haven't heard that.
You should
in a
be
minute.
Playing some really good music now. Something leading up to that. Is Jay Middleton's...
Jay's cool. Do you know Jay?
Yeah, I raced with him back in the Florida Pro Days.
He's doing some ARCA stuff now. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Travis Cope. We were doing an interview with Travis Cope last week for the ASA Fastlane, and Travis told us he's working on Jay's car, and that sort of brought him to our mind. It was, let's get Jay on and see what he's up to, huh?
Yeah, I've watched Jay race since he was a kid in high school, and now he's all grown up.
Absolutely. So, and we got a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and Carol.
So what, Jack?
Did you go to? I know you were going to go to. You and Jason were going to go to Orlando. When are you going out to Orlando Speed World?
When I can get away from you.
Pin them down. You got to pin this down.
We had something pinned down. Was it TBARA?
Yeah, I think you're going up there for TBARA or something.
It's on my notes. Right. I'm not going to forget, Rusty, if you're listening. Right. You're going to get me in trouble here, Jack.
And now Rob raced. Yes. He raced in the
100 lap melee.
The melee.
The 4.5 Motorsports Park.
Yeah.
4.5 laps per caution, is that
right? Right, that's.
Well, it's good that I guess there's two ways to think about it. 100 green flag laps, you think about it and say, oh, that's cool. That's a good way to do it because in case anything happens, you can get off and fix it. But, man, when there's a lot of cautions, the race just goes. It just seems like it takes forever and ever and ever. It'd be nice maybe to have maybe 4 cautions during the race just for a break, every 25 laps or something. But Yeah, that was a little monotonous the other night. And I finished, I think I finished seventh. That's what I finished.
That's after good.
Going to the rear twice for, I don't know. I guess having a little bit of impatience maybe. You know, it's been a few years since I've been racing. This will be my third race back since about a five-year layoff. And it was good to get back in it. Car was running really good. It was handling well. And towards the end of the race, it wasn't like everyone else's. So.
Well, this is my first time meeting you, and can you hear me? I don't think my mic's
on. Yes, your mic's on.
You've probably met me before. You just don't remember, even though I have one of those faces you can't forget.
Well, I was just going to mention that everything that I heard at the racetrack the other day was good things, so there must be something wrong with
you.
Well,
I thought they cheated us because they counted. Carol, don't worry about it. See, you don't hear that because you don't have those on, but don't worry about it. You're fine. Trust me.
I'm trying to be cool here, and you're telling the whole world.
They cheated us out of seven laps because they counted seven laps.
Did they really?
Yes, in the middle of that. They got impatient up there at the scoring tower and started counting laps. They counted seven laps.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. So it could have been longer.
Seven laps, it would have been longer, yeah. No, that's okay. We know we're used to run 125 laps most of the time, and it depends. They usually run 125 laps. They'll count all 100 of the first 100, and then the last 25, they don't count any caution. So
yeah, well, you get what you get. You know, there was a time, and I remember telling Bobby about this, about Bobby Deal, the promoter down there. When he started his fast late model deal, he hadn't been doing it very long. There was a race up at the Florida Pro Series race up at Columbia Motorsports Park, as a matter of fact. And I think, like, the fans got about 40 laps of green flag racing, and the entire rest of the race was run under caution. And there was a lot of pissed off people. And,
yeah, that's not good.
And rightfully so. So, I guess.
I mean, that's why for the fans, I know 100 green flag laps is great. The fans love it because they want to see the race go on, and they want to see the best guys be there at the end.
That's right.
And like I said, as a racer, when they tell you you got to go off the racetrack, but they give you a couple laps to get back on, and you don't lose any laps, it's good for the show. It keeps the car count there. How many cars finished the race the other night?
There was a lot.
A lot more than last
time.
Oh,
yeah, there was a lot.
Yeah, there weren't many out.
I mean, we didn't have bad crashes. I know I spun around a couple times. I did talk to Bobby earlier today about the caution lights out there. Something I hadn't realized because I hadn't been racing out there recently is the caution light. When you come through turn four, you probably noticed that caution light's almost white. It's not yellow anymore. And so what happens, it blends in, and it caused me almost to run in the back of Buzz, and Wayne Anderson almost ran into me as I was turned around. But luckily I did the reverse thing. You know, I've had a little bit of experience in this thing.
Yeah, you're not supposed to see white lights. You're supposed to get yellow.
No, I know. If it's yellow, it's yellow, you know. And the flagman, I remember during the driver's meeting, the flagman was like, "You guys need to pay attention to me." He doesn't realize. Very rarely do we look at him. If he was driving the car, he'd understand. When you got a cat outside of you that's trying everything he can to get around you, and you're trying to race off of that corner, you know how short he is? We can't see him.
Right.
Boy, I just learned something myself here.
Well, no, not in a late model, at least. Now, listen, when you're driving a street stock or something that maybe not be going around as quick, or maybe even then, I never used to watch the flag, man. You watch the lights. That's what a racer watches. That's why the lights are there, because they're at your level. He's way up in the air, and he thinks everybody sees him. But I'd say, Gary, what do you think? The flagman's for the fans, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I'd say yes. I don't notice him up there. I notice something, as you said, the yellow lights and the two cornermen when the flag comes out, not the tower men.
Tell me, is that why you guys never pay attention to blue flags and black flags?
Well, and here's the deal about the blue flag, too. Now, from somebody that's got experience, if my car is good, okay, but I just got in the back or caught behind somebody and I'm having a hard time passing them, I'm not going to let the guy, he's coming up to lap me for the first time, and they start pointing that blue flag or whatever, well, that doesn't mean that it's time to just let the guy go by. You see it in NASCAR. Those guys, they fight to stay on that lead lap. Now, once you're a lap down, okay, then you should always yield to the race. And if you don't have a car to do any better than what you're doing, yield to the race. And that's pretty much how I look at it there, because when I'm good and I'm running good, I don't want somebody holding me up from passing them. A track like Charlotte County, Motorsports Park the other night, I was getting a little aggravation with the 54 and the 21 when I was behind them. And it's no fault of theirs. They're trying everything they can to hold their line on the bottom. It's the fault of the track. So what you have to do is you have to bide your time. And I did. I calmed down.
Were they lapped down?
No. No, they weren't. And that's what I'm saying. I needed to bide my time. And in the same token, though, if you try to pass somebody on the outside and you throw it out there one time, whether it's on a restart or whatever, and that guy drives into you a little bit, he's basically telling you he's not going to let you pass on the outside or the bottom. So Chris did end up getting his car tore up a little bit, and then he was making it hard to go for all of us. So finally, the restarts. That's really what you got to be really smart on the restarts at Charlotte County.
But what if you're racing for what? Let's change the circumstances now. Mike Franklin had the lead. Okay,
that happens a lot.
Yeah, and Wayne Anderson was trying to get up there, and Kevin Macy was in second. Now, what if Kevin had a little bit of faster car in the late stages of that race, say the last five laps or so? He had a faster car than Franklin. Wouldn't Franklin be doing the right thing by doing everything he could to keep Macy behind him?
And he would. Macy,
damn
Macy's
right,
got
would.
Talent.
He,
Macy's got
I know
talent.
He wouldn't
There's
move.
No doubt. No doubt. Macy's got talent. He's got car. He's got crate motor car. Franklin's got that progressive power car. Franklin, at the end of the race, his car isn't near as good as at the beginning because he's about wore out. The car's got a lot of horsepower.
He's wore out the tires.
Right. Macy's car's still ready to go. That's why his car was really looking good. Had the race been 125 laps, I believe that Kevin might have got him, you know, and I pitted right next to Kevin. So I got to see them throughout the day. And I'll tell you what the biggest problem of racing in the summertime is. It's really hot. The other day
it was miserable.
It was miserable. That's the only word for it. I think we were all looking at the rain clouds and going, I wish it would just rain, cool everything down. The track was so hot it could have steamed it right off, but it never did.
You know, to wrap up that point, cautions, there was a lot of them. There were 16 cautions, I believe. But, you know, we were just at the ASA race last weekend at New Smyrna Speedway. They start 28 cars. You know, guys had to fight to get in to the race. 28 cars, and they didn't have 16, but I think they had 13. There was a lot of cautions. And there's always a lot of cautions in those races. They run
every late model
and
race.
They run 100 laps, green flag. There's a lot of cautions in these races.
You want me to tell you why there's a lot of cautions in these races? Because these cars are hard to drive.
Right, exactly.
These small racetracks, and even New Smyrna, so that's not a small racetrack. New Smyrna is a small, big racetrack.
Yeah.
Lakeland is an easy, big racetrack to race. You ask any guys that race.
Right.
Lakeland will give you the butterflies in your stomach till you get on it. And once you get on it and you're driving it, it's like the easiest track in the world to drive until your car gets sideways. When your car gets sideways, then you can have some
There's
real
a
problems.
Lot of cautions at Lakeland, too.
Yes.
In the late model
and
races.
And you can sure see some serious wrecks that happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of the cautions. But there again, the cars are not as easy to drive as they appear. And when you get all these guys together and you pile them together and then you throw a posted award, why they don't take a little bit of time to get into the race, I know I do, and the veteran guys that have been doing it for a while, we know what's going on at the beginning of the race. If you're up in the very front, you got a race. If you're not, don't get too racy until it gets time, things get spread out, and hope that you don't crash up.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a late model race that didn't have a lot of cautions.
They wouldn't be exciting to the fans, I don't think. But, you know, I think that the fans did get to see a good race there the other night and put it out to everybody out there in 2 weeks on the 14th of July. We will be, is it the 14th?
Yes, Super Late Models.
14th. Super Late Model.
Yeah.
Super Late Model, 2750 with a four barrel, dry sump, bring it.
And before the show is over, we're going to talk about an upcoming race in 2 days from now, Super Late Model race, at that bad track, New Smyrna Speedway, the Clyde Hart Memorial. But before we do that, we're going to get started here with Scott McAllister's got a new gig. Papa got a brand new bag, man. What's going on up there?
Baby needs a new pair of shoes. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're fooling. Hey. We're fooling around. Carol's like got a new hairdo going with this headphones sticking out her ears, and
we got a new duo.
Yeah, we got.
Hey, Scott, how's it going? I want to shut him up if you don't mind.
That's all right with me.
So what's
man, up at Lake City, we are just having a blast up there, man.
Lake City, that was one of my favorite places back I did run Florida Pro.
Were you at the dirt track?
No, yeah, that's what Lake City would be. You're at Columbia Motorsports Park. Get it right. Aren't you an announcer there now or a promoter? What's going on?
No, I am just, I saw that on the internet. I am I'm not the promoter. I am just the announcer.
Just the
don't
announcer.
Take any credit for that. Those guys work hard enough, and they do a good job up there. But, no, I got invited to do some announcing up there, and somebody was crazy enough to actually have me on for the rest of the year. So I really have enjoyed myself so far. We've had a blast up there getting to know those guys, and just a whole different group of guys, and it's a lot of fun up there, and just the whole crowd and the enthusiasm that those guys show up there, it's just kind of, it's a lot of fun up there. We're having a blast.
Where were you from before?
You know, I have done announcing at almost, let me think, let's see, I started out at Ocala Speedway when Paul Petrie owned the track.
Wow, yeah.
And then I went over to Volusia County, Volusia Speedway, and did some announcing there. And really had a good time over there, and that's really where I learned a lot of it. And then I went over to Bronson Motor Speedway when Dean used to own the track, and announced there with those guys. And that's when the Sarah Series was around, and Rick Day came up with, they came to Bronson one time, and I was enamored with those guys. And
that was a good deal.
Somebody was crazy enough to actually ask me to come on and see if I wanted to do that. So really, that's where I got the bulk of my announcing experience. That was there with the Sarah Series, and then after that I announced down with Rick Angie's, where he's at now, and was the announcer down at DeSoto Speedway for a long time. So that was kind of where I did the most of my announcing at, and of course I've had the opportunity to announce over at Lakeland with Billy Martino when they've had some special events, and we had a really good time up there. So I've really done, you know, quite a bit of it, and I got to travel around with the Sarah Series and do a lot of announcing with that. So this kind of brings it all back home again, you know, coming back to Lake City. It's a lot of fun.
Great. You know, this is Rob Elting, by the way, a.k.a. Bonehead. I used to race there quite a bit, you know, when Bert owned it with the Florida Pro Series. I used to love it, racetrack. Did they change the surface of the racetrack when they put a wall around it?
I don't think the surface has been changed. You know, I was when I went there, it was old school before they had the wall up there, and you know, used to see people flying off over in turn one and turn three, and you know, a lot of great racing action up there. But I believe the surface is still the same. Pretty much everything is still the same. It's kind of like stepping back in time, as a matter of fact, a little bit, to be honest with you. But that's a good thing, you know. I say that in a good way.
So the 57 still runs there?
I'm
trying to think of
Boatwright.
Doyle Boatwright, that's right.
Doyle Boatwright still runs there. As a matter of fact, he's won the last couple of late model races, the super late they've had there. We had Daryl Shelnut back this time. He was up there with us, and a couple of other really good super late model drivers. But really what's going on there is some of the classes that they have, like the V8 Bomber classes and the Hornet classes that they have there. Just a lot of great racing. The cool thing about that track, you know, it's a half-mile track. So it's not a 3/8-mile track. It's not super small, and it's not a three-quarter-mile track like New Smyrna or Lakeland. So it's right in the middle. And
you better bring a good car.
And those Hornet guys, I mean, they'll go 3-4 wide down at a turn one. You know, it's just mayhem.
Yeah, it was always a great surface. I tell you, I always tell people about that racetrack, that turn three, you can drive off into turn three more than your brain tells you you need to get out of it, and you're still going to be okay.
Yeah.
I think Wayne Anderson used to tell me that, because
of incidents up there up in turn three. I think that the wall has really kind of shortened that down a little bit. It kind of opens up people's eyes, especially these last couple of weeks. But track is really a lot faster than a lot of people think, I believe. And so it really... some of the smaller classes, like I said, the V8 Bombers and the Hornet division, You know, these guys, they keep their foot in it all the way around the track, and it's just a lot of fun. And we're having a blast out there. I've got a lot of good feedback, a little negative feedback, but I guess you're going to have that. But
on those starts, on the starts of the races now, on the starts of the races, when those cars used to fly off the back straightaway, what happens to them now? They just kind of all funnel down the back straightaway against the wall?
Well, you know, right now the way it goes is you really just have to hang right on the bottom of the track over in one and three, to be honest with you. You get up in the loose stuff and you're going to go sideways around. It'll snap around you in a heartbeat up there. So a lot of driving skills come into play up there, and we've just been having a blast. And it's just a great place to come to watch a race. And if you're, you know, looking to get out and do some racing, you can come out there and have a good time. It's not quite as serious as other places. It's just a lot of fun.
You gave me kind of a little bit of grief there about the promoter thing, but I understand that you are doing quite a bit of promoting up there.
Well, I tell you, I promote on Saturday nights, and Tim Lake is the actual manager and promoter, and he's the one that's really putting in all the hard work, the sweat equity. Calling up the drivers and getting those guys to come up there and organizing what's going on. So really have to tip my hat to Tim Lake and his staff and what they've done. I have merely come on and tried just to add what I can to the track up there. But it's Tim and his girlfriend up there that's doing just a fantastic job. The whole crew up there, they do a really, really good job. And Mr. Lane is up there. So Cecil Williams is other Patrick Williams' father and his mom. And we go way, way back. And so, it's like I said, it's kind of like taking a step back in time a little bit and getting to see some people you haven't seen in a long time and then get a chance to meet people that, you know, are either new to the sport or I haven't had a chance to meet. So it's kind of like a whole new experience for me. It's like starting all over again, and it's just a lot of fun.
Well, I'd say you're a promoter because you're promoting. You're doing a great job.
Well, I appreciate that. And speaking of promotions, I'm going to just give you a couple of minutes to promote what we're doing up here at the track. This Saturday, we're going to let everybody that has a military ID and anybody that's in the forces, that anybody that has a military ID can get in for free this weekend. We're also going to do a bounty is going to go on. Nevin Ganey up there in the Pure Stock Division. We have a freestyle Pure Stock Division.
Get ready for him to get crashed. That's all that's going to happen. If you put a bounty on, they get crashed, and then they get mad at you.
A bounty, but I've already told him. I said we're going to put a bounty. $250 is going to go up. You got to finish the race, of course. But first of all, you got to catch Nevin if you think you're going to try to, you know, crash him. But he has just been lighting them up there, and so we're going to put a bounty out on Nevin, so to he and his father, and $250 plus, of course, what you pick up for the checkered flag is going to go to anybody that comes up there and can beat Nevin and those guys, because both he and his crew are doing a fantastic job. The other announcement I want to make real quick, Southern Sportsman, the Southern Sportsman Series. It's not going to be a fast car Southern Sportsman Series event, but anybody running those rules, we're going to start looking at some dates to have those guys come up there. We aren't sure what date, and it's not a fast car sanctioned event, but it is going to be under those rules. We're going to have them up there for a couple of times in between some of the fast car events. So those are just some of the things we have going on. But once again, the main thing is we want to recognize all our military people and do what we can do, the little bit that we can do for those guys, and recognize them. And once again, anybody that has a military ID, come on up to Lake City, and you'll have a blast. You'll enjoy yourself, and of course, you get to get in no charge. And we'll look forward to recognizing those guys and coming up and watch the bounty go on in the Pure Stock race against Nevin Ganey, because he's tearing them up. So if you guys are out there and any Pure Stock guys are listening, come on up there and get you some of Nevin Ganey, and we'll see how you fare up there at Lake City. But it's a blast. We're having a really good time. It's just a lot of fun. You know, it really, really is.
I think it's about time that the racetracks start recognizing the guys that are over there in Iraq and different places.
It's the very least we can do. I mean,
the very least.
The very least we can do. And I, you know, Tim and I talked about this, and we just want to do what we can for those guys. And literally, we just want to invite everybody down that has a military ID, whether you're retired, in service, out of the service, just show us a military ID, and you're going to be very welcome here at Lake City at Columbia Motorsports Park.
also about promoters. I know that you have paid promoters and people who work very, very hard, but there's also a lot of people that promote racing in a big way that don't, that are not affiliated with any particular track. I mean, I try my best, Jerry Binner. There's a lot of people that promote racing in a big way in different ways. So that's why I put you down there as promoter, because you're always doing something.
It does seem that way, that's for sure. My wife will certainly tell you that. You know, it's something that I would do. I'm on the radio, so I hope, I don't know how many people are listening, but I would do this.
Thousands and thousands.
I know.
Tens of thousands.
I would do this for free, but, you know, honestly, I really do love doing this. I enjoy interacting with the racers, and I really enjoy interacting with the crowd and getting everyone involved, whether it's...
Who do you work for?
For the four-year-old kids all the way up to the, all the way up to the senior citizens and the mature audience that we have all around the state of Florida.
Hey, Scotty, you know what I'd like to see at Columbia Motorsports Park?
Me.
I would like to see a big late model race, super late model race, with like 28 cars starting the race. I think it would be absolutely killer.
I'll tell you how to do it. I'll tell you how to get it.
Coming up is a $3,000 to win.
Do 10
late model race, and if you got some late model drivers up there that aren't too scared to come on up to Lake City and Columbia Motorsports Park, I want to invite you guys up here and get a taste of what this half mile track will do. Once again, it's and I say that jokingly, but we would love to have some of the people.
When is that?
That's going to be at the end of July. I think it's 28th of July. I would have to look at the schedule. I'm in my truck right now. I think it's the last weekend in July. It's a $3,000 to win. Super late model race. It's not sanctioned by anybody. But once again, we're looking to have some of the best drivers from the state up there at the track. And once again, if they're not too scared to get away from their own home track, come on up to Lake City. And like I said, you can let your car eat up there and get a full taste of what it's like. Because once again, that half mile track, it'll get you, it'll bite you in a hurry. You know, so you got to have some skills and you got to have a good piece up there to run good. So it really is kind of, you have to have, you know, the full package to come up there. And we're hoping to get a good field of cars.
Yeah, you know, Scott, you should, because you know July the 20th, Five Flags has the Blizzard Series 100, the third one of the year.
Yes.
And then, of course, they do Mobile the next day. And then their next one isn't until the end of August, on the 31st of August. And those are Friday night deals, and they do the Saturday thing over it. But, you know, if you could get a deal in between there, you could get guys from that deal over in that part of the world to come and get some guys from down in Florida. I think you could get 28 of them.
You know, and that's really what we're looking to do. You know, this track is really in a great position up there to draw some people from over on the west side of Florida, over the Panhandle, where I was born and raised at, with all that L.A., lower Alabama. But we're hoping to get some of those guys from over that away, some people from up in Georgia, and, of course, our longstanding veterans here from the state of Florida to come up there to Columbia Motorsports Park. And kind of have some interaction from, perhaps the tri-state area from up in Alabama even come down. So we're going to see what we can do to make this the biggest event of the year there at Columbia Motorsports Park.
3,000 to win. 3,000 to win. 500 to start.
That's right. And
500 to start. You got to do that, and then you'll get some drivers there. I'm telling you.
Once again, that's where Tim Lake comes in at. Call Tim about that. But, you know, we're all working together.
You're the promoter.
Let's give Tim's number out so everybody can call Tim up and tell him.
Tell him.
Rumble.
Check us out on the net at ColumbiaMotorsportsPark.com.
There you go.
And his number's on the website.
Believe it or not, he was brave enough to put his number up there on the website. You can also email him. But, yeah, it's going to be a great event, and we're hoping to have a big crowd turnout. And you know, we want to invite everybody down up from the south of Florida and all the way from the south of Georgia to come up, and all over from the west side of Florida on the Panhandle. We want to see just how many drivers we can pack into those pits down there, and you know, we're hoping to get some of the names like Jeff Choquette, Jeff Schofield, and Wayne Anderson, and all the super late model guys to come up there and put on a great show for everybody. And then perhaps some people that no one's ever heard of from here in the state of Florida that can come down from Georgia or Alabama or over from the West Coast in Florida. So, because many times, you
Scott,
know, we get kind of.
I don't mean to cut you short, honey, but we got to take a break here.
Hi, guys.
Somebody's got to pay the bills around this place.
Hey,
Scott McAllister.
You guys are doing a good job. Thanks for having us on, and we look forward to seeing you guys up at Columbia Motorsports Park.
Good job. Thanks an awful lot, and we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Night, Scott.
All right, night, girl.
Hey, you know, and before we go to break, you know, we've got to point out a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Jay Middleton.
Who's a Lake City boy.
Who's a Lake City driver.
That's right.
He's going to be with us in a little bit. We'll talk to you later, Scotty.
All right, man. Sounds good. You guys have a good time. So sounds great.
Night.
What do you think of that, huh? Now, you tell me he is not a promoter.
He's a promoter all the way.
100%er.
Sounds like a promoter to me.
All right. Let's take a break.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stuff?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, stuff master, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
Remember
Welcome
them
back,
in concert.
Everybody. Oh.
The Who.
The Who?
That was The Who.
Welcome back, everybody. We're going to be
Eminence
talking
front.
To...
Gary LaPointe.
What?
What's up?
Not much, buddy.
Florida Outlaw Street Stocks. That's what this is all about. Now, Gary, I was at the races the other night, pitting with my late model inside the pits, minding my own business. All of a sudden, I hear a crash bang, and I look up, and one of your street stocks... is nose up, trying to climb out of the racetrack on the pit exit. Well, what was going on there, man?
He just didn't know how to turn right.
He didn't know how to turn left. He was doing right pretty good.
Yeah, it kind of looked like a right-hand turn.
It was almost like it was a drag strip, you know, is what it looked like. But things didn't turn out too good for him. Let's talk about this driver. Who was that driver?
It was Gary Kirby. He was a new driver. Luckily, he's not injured.
Thank goodness.
Up, but he's ready to jump another race car and go at it again.
He learned lessons, didn't he?
Real fast.
Yeah. Is he working on the car?
Yes.
Okay, well, he's going to learn some more lessons.
They're tearing the car apart tonight to get ready for next week.
Now, Gary, you know, it's interesting that I'm here tonight. Interesting that you're here tonight, because me and you know each other, because I'm from Tampa originally, and, you know, I got relocated. Hurricane Charlie blew me in here doing construction, and I haven't been able to get out of here yet, because I do insurance construction. By the way, for those of you from Ponte Gorda listening, I work for Don Teets Contracting. But that doesn't mean anything right here. Let's talk about these race cars. All these outlaw street stocks that I see that you, when you pull up, you've got a, I don't want to call it like a band of gypsies. Let's call it, you just got a band of got brothers, literally, that pull up and you guys like have your own show, basically.
Well, we try not to. We're making challenges for other tracks to come down. We've got a big one coming up on July the 7th for other tracks. It's a challenge. Bring your rules, bring your tires, drivers come on down. $1,000 to win, 20 cars or more on the 7th. We're more glad for you to come down and take our money. Since we've been racing the Outlaw Street Stock, no one's been dominating the track. We've had six races and six different winners. So, and I think we put on a good show, nose to tail. We don't really have the cars where one just runs off the track for the show.
Yes, they've been, no doubt, very interesting races, to say the least. Now, let's talk about Terry Price a little bit. Now, now listen, I want to say something. Okay, Terry has fans, and he has people that hate him. I'm one of those guys that I kind of like Terry myself.
Terry Price makes racing exciting.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something about Terry, that Terry had a bad rap before this year, and you got to admit, Terry's been put through the grinder a little bit, through that Vaseline grinder, and I'd say that he's keeping his cool pretty good. Even that big old melee fight that broke out after y'all's race that night, that didn't even have much to do with him. That had to do with a bunch of drunk fans, you know.
Well, that's very true. Terry Price is a, I think a lot of people dislike Terry Price. I think he spends a lot of hours on the track. I think he knows the track very well. He knows where to hit the corners just right to keep that Thunderbird to the front. And it's a challenge.
It's a Lincoln, isn't it?
Lincoln.
That's a hot rod Lincoln
he's
got.
Yeah, it's a hot rod Lincoln, yeah. It's Ford Carter.
Yeah, you know, he's...
But he's just a good, talented driver.
Getting beat by Ford, you are hating that, man.
Well, he's...
I would hate it.
Well, he's the only Ford out there right at the present time. He hasn't beat us real bad, you know. He runs with us.
You know? Well, I'm surprised you didn't come up with a rule in the Outlaw Street Stocks. No Ford, Chevrolets only.
Well, you know, found road on dead, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Terry's going to have his car running. Now, let me ask you something. What tires are you guys going to be running when you go to Charlotte County Motorsports Park now?
We are switching to the American Racers along with the Bobby. If you've got Goodyears, our series is running Goodyears, but when we're out of the Goodyears, we're going to be going to the American Racers.
And I personally, late model racing, I love the American Racer tire. It was a tire that we used in the Florida Pro Series back. I think if you ask a lot of veteran racers out there that have used a multitude of tires, granted, for us, that yellow Goodyear, yellow label Goodyear that they just had, that was a good tire. Just had problems with finding variations of the right stagger. But no doubt, the American Racer tire for you guys, I guarantee you're going to pick up time over what you'd been running. What were you running before? Most of the time.
17.9s, 18.2s.
No, no, tires.
Oh, tires?
Yeah.
We've been running Goodyears.
Goodyears. What's one, though? The slick or the shredded?
The one with the threads on.
So now you won't have the treads on them, right?
No.
Yeah, that's definitely going to pick up. So that's going to be exciting. You guys have to change the gears in your cars, maybe.
Maybe.
When are you going up to Arbondale?
We're not racing Arbondale yet. That deal kind of fell through.
Now, you got to understand something, too. You want to talk about somebody that has a history with a track. I'd imagine these folks here with his band of brothers that he travels with, they've got a little history over there at the Auburndale racetrack. The Lacey Bunch.
Yeah, Lacey Bunch got it over there at the Auburndale and the old Sunshine Speedway. That's actually, Willie Lacey got me involved in racing. How I got involved in racing about 7 years ago was just happened to be at his house with one of my kids. And he wanted to go racing and needed two tires for a street stock. So I put him the money for the, actually I sponsored him for the tires that night, went to the racetrack and And to behold, guess what I'm still on doing.
I bet you were amazed what you saw that night when you went to the racetrack with Willie, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Because Willie, he's wide open. I'll tell you, that's one thing about the Lacey Bunch. You know, when I started racing street stocks was at Sunshine, and I don't know, man, I'm going to say like 1992 or something, or 91. And I remember Willie Lacey was one of the first person that I met. Obviously, Red Van helped me a lot with racing when I raced street stocks. And I think back of those days, and I really used to have fun in those days, you know. And then racing went into late models and running that Florida Pro Series and running constantly for points or whatever. It got kind of out of hand. And then after taking this break, coming back and racing now, it's like racing's fun again. It's like, you know, winning's important, okay? Let's not get it wrong. Competitive nature that all of us have is one thing. But am I going to really seriously hurt somebody to try to win? No. No, I just want to go out there and have a good time. And when I get done, feel like I had a good workout, maybe lost 10 pounds.
I agree on that. To me, myself personally, winning's not the key thing. Going out and having fun, getting the car back whole where there's not a whole lot of work to do with a large expense. Maybe take second, third, or fifth, stay in the top five every race. That can be very competitive. You know, you win a championship doing that. You know.
How'd you get roped into this in the first place?
Well, actually, I got into it, and I was looking at one track myself personally, and that kind of fell through. And so when Bobby took over the track, he knew that I was trying to put this series together. Bobby Deal called me up. It was amazing. He took the track over, and he said, I'd like to put the series together. And I said, this was in December, and I said, well, Bobby, when are you looking to do this? And I said, I'm figuring he would say sometime in February when everybody starts.
Next week, right?
You know what I mean? He said, well, I want you to have cars here in 2 weeks. Mm. So we started, actually, the series started with six cars. When we first started, we had some cars from Tampa with the street stock, originally from Sunshine. We put some of the road boys with us, and we made the class with that. Now we're running between 15 and 18 cars with the six races. This next race, we expect to have 25 to 30.
Yes, there's no doubt. You guys are putting on a good show, and I was there at the beginning when you started the shows, you know, and seeing your car go out there and win that 50-lapper and lead every lap.
Yeah, that was Jeff Lacey driving out. I hurt my shoulder that night. There was a big story on that. He was building... There was a car sitting in the shop, and he says, if I get this car ready, can I race it? And I says, Jeff, I said, if you build that car tonight and have primer on it, you can take that to the racetrack. And it was nothing but a bare frame for the roll cage in it. 4 o'clock in the morning, they went to move it out of the shop, and the transmission was no good. They were ready to primer it. And so he made it to the track. Then Willie and I got into a little scuffle, and I've hurt my shoulder and broke the rear end in my car. And I saw a record driver that split second, tows our cars down. He said, well, I'll run back to Tampa and get a transmission, I mean, a rear end put in it. And I told Jeff, I said, you get that car running, you can drive it. And after being up all night long, he got it on the pole, finished first with it. I was really impressed with it.
Hold on 1 second. You and Willie got into a scuffle, and that's why your shoulder was hurt? You know, that you just kind of clouded all around that. Now, don't you know that Willie's a lot of talk, and you can't let him get to you? I mean, if Willie's listening out there, he's laughing right now because he knows, if anybody knows, Bonehead here knows him well, okay? You can't get physical with the man.
Well, we didn't get physical.
Somebody did.
Well, we kind of went down. And
are you talking about Willie Tedder?
No, we're talking about Willie Lacey. We're not from Charlotte County, so we've kind of gone outside of maybe the bounds of people that you know. But
you're skipping around so
one
much,
day,
you got me dizzy.
You're going to meet Willie Lacey out there at the racetrack because he's racing with there's Willie, and then there's his son Jeff, and his son Troy, and then there's Willie's son-in-laws, right? Is there any of them out there?
The ones that come down from Tampa with me is Willie Lacey.
Go ahead and name off some of your drivers.
We got Willie, actually from Tampa, we got Willie Lacey, Jeff Lacey, Troy's from Auburndale. We got Rocky Reinhold from Tampa, Michael LaPlante, which is my son. Rocky Reinhold's my stepson. And then we've got John Glenn that just started with us out of Tampa. So there's 9 cars out of the Tampa plant that comes down with me.
So see, if nobody else wants to come take Gary's money that he puts up, there's 9 boys from Tampa that'll come down and try to take it. And what's happened is that they've gone from having a few cars, eight, to having a full field and having a real show and having guys like Terry Price, the showman, come out there and race right with them. And I want to put out one more thing. All you guys out there that used to race at Sunshine Speedway and you used to race at street stocks there, that's where I came from, that's where I raced. What are they, 112-inch wheelbase cars?
112-inch, and the mixed car is 108.
So, see, you can run either, but if you've got that Sunshine Speedway car and you've been not competitive, maybe running against some of the metric, with the rules that Gary has, they run automatic transmission and stuff in them. It evens the cars up, and the tires I think you're going to like. So I'll put it out to you. If you're any of those guys with Sunshine car out there, bring it out there. Gary will let you run it. Bring it out there the first time. Let him check it out. He'll let you run it. They'll do something to you to make you even with the other guys. And then as you bring your car back, you'll get it straight. And I think you'll like his payout. He must be doing something right because people are showing up and running his shows.
They're showing up. We've been racing once a month, and Bobby and I, we're trying to put a deal together. We're going to be racing twice a month for the rest of the season and also into next year. So it's going to be twice a month at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. And if you need my rules, they're on my website, www.suncoaststreetstocks.com.
There you got suncoaststreetstocks.com. Go to it, check it out, check out the rules, and get your car built. And if you come out to the racetrack, Gary's usually there. He's been there, it seems like, every week now. I see him out there.
Yes, I've even when I'm out racing, I'm down there promoting.
Right. You can see him. Silver hair. Silver hair. I'm getting there. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. No, Gary, he's a great guy. And you guys that are looking to get started in racing, you know, if you've already been in a class, maybe been racing for a while, you wanted to get a different car, this is a great class to get in. Very competitive. I think you'll have a good time.
Again, drivers, we got that challenge coming up on 7-7 from other tracks. It's full-frame cars, automatic transmissions, $1,000 to win. We challenge yours to come down to Charlotte County Motorsports Park and take us on.
7707. 777 pays $1,000 to win. Outlaw Street Stock, Charlotte County Motorsports Park. That sounds pretty good, Gary.
Well, Gary, let me tell you, it's been a real pleasure having you come down and visit with us, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing from you again.
He's not done. He's not done. He's got to hang out, and he's going to get another.
Well, I realize that, yeah. But
right this minute, we do have to go to break, though.
I appreciate it.
We've got to go to break, and we've got several guests.
Well,
we're
coming right back
to.
With Billy Bigley Jr.
All right.
Sweet.
I think. Thank you very much, Gary.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, CarKnight gets it done.
I'm Racing Movie Man at USA Speedway, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Do you need to raise your land and business to new heights? Then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction race team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a velvet rope are all that keep the huddled masses from a free flick.
You're the man now.
Ever vigilant, you boldly demand to see our stuff. Getting a little personal, don't you think?
Can I see your stuff?
Who's the guy in the military-style uniform that would make any third-world dictator proud? Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper, that's who.
Salute the general.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Stubmaster, because you really tear it up.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
That guy right there is a champion. He's been a champion all his life, but he's been in a race car. That right there is an exercise on how you race people. The 19 car, I don't know what to say on that deal. I'm up to the door, going in a corner. You know, we're counting cautions. It's a 100-lap race. You know, up to the door. I don't know how far you got to be, but, you know, that's just racing accident. And the bullet, just purposely go underneath a caution like that, that's absolutely ridiculous. And,
Welcome right. back.
We're back on the air.
Hopefully.
Billy Bigley, are you there?
I am here.
Uh-huh.
You're on the air with your old buddy, Rob Elting, a.k.a. Bonehead.
And your other old buddy, Carol Wicks.
What's happening, Billy?
Not a whole lot. How's everything going with you guys?
Well, you see it. I hear your kids are racing these days.
Yeah, and they're actually doing better than I am, believe it or not.
Thank you. Which one won the race? Dylan? No, Corey.
Corey won Saturday, and Dylan run third.
Wow, you must have been beaming.
Oh, it was. It just makes it nice. Dylan won his first one last year, and it was the same weekend as we ran the C-Fest. And he went out there earlier Saturday, you know, before the C-Fest race started, and he won, and somebody come up to me and asked me, and I told him, I said, it didn't matter how we did the C-Fest. It went and made our whole night, just capped off a great night, and we ended up running second. So, I mean, it was ending to a really good night. But Corey's been struggling a little bit because of the car that we built him wasn't, I guess, good as it could have been, and he was a little bit of disadvantage. So we built him a new car, and the second night out, he goes off and wins. So it just made the whole, and with Dylan running third, it was great.
It's so cool to watch you and Kim with those boys every week up there. What are some of the rules you have for the boys as far as racing? I know you're pretty strict.
Well, the biggest rule is they have to do good in school. And what's really nice is John there at DeSoto, he backs that up. I mean, we had to take their report card this weekend. We didn't have them the last time they raced from school, because they mail them the final report card to us. But we didn't have them. And whether or not the track would let them race or not, I said, you know, anything below a C is not acceptable to be able to race, because that's the way it was in my house. I was growing up with my dad, so I'm just kind of passed that along. You know, I mean, you got to be able to get some of the, you know, the benefits, you have to do something to earn that. And they've done well. I mean, they've done, matter of fact, I got a comment from one of the girls that when we gave it to them, they said, wow, your boys do really good in school. And I said, they have to, you know, so it's a good feeling because it's, you know, I mean, my whole family is behind me and now my whole family, again, we're all behind my kids. So it's just a lot of fun.
What kind of cars are they racing there, Billy?
My youngest son, Dylan, has a Eagle Talon, which is like a Mississippi Clip. And my older son, we just built him a Toyota Celica. So they have to be front-wheel drive cars. So we kind of looked around and we found something that was more of like a sports car, because Corey used to have a Honda Accord, which was kind of top heavy, you couldn't really get, because you have to run stock displacement tires, so whatever came stock on that car you had to have, and he didn't. That had like a 70 series tire, which is real narrow and has a lot of sidewall to it. And the ironic part about it is I didn't really know that going in, because I thought it was just, build them a car and then they can go have fun. But as like every other form of racing, is the more competitive you want to be, you know, you have to almost be like the Joneses and get what they get. So when we bought this Talon from a guy that used to run at Ponte Gorda with his son, and they moved up, and right away that thing was like, it was a really good car. So when we built the Honda, I was like, that's not going to cut the mustard. So we need to get him something a little bit better.
What's Billy Bigley Jr. doing?
We're running our super late model at DeSoto, and we're running our Pro Cup car, and having a lot of success at DeSoto. I mean, we've run really well. Last few times out, we've run second both times.
How about that Robert Yoho that night, man? Let me tell
you
what. Don't
you start on Yoho.
I'm not going to start. No, I'm going to say one thing about Yoho, and Billy's going to agree. You know, Billy, it's been about 5 years since I've raced at DeSoto, mm-hmm. and since I've raced around Robert Yoho. And if there's one thing I told him after a race, he was a little bit aggravated at me because I wasn't right. I gave him all the room in the world, and he was fighting with somebody for position, ended up spinning out. But he came back right up on you, and let me tell you, he was all over you.
Oh, yeah.
Yoho's coming on.
Like when he got out of the car over on the front radio, I had to actually look to see if it was somebody else.
I live for the day when Bobby wins a race.
Robert's been fast. I mean, Robert's been fast. He's qualified well, but either he hasn't had the car under him, or you know, I don't know if he just gets too anxious and burns the tires off the car. But he actually, you know, I would probably say had the fastest car on a racetrack. He spun himself out, or got—I don't know what happened, but. I was back quite a ways. I mean, I still qualified fifth, but, you know, it's just the way it worked out. I wasn't close enough. All I did was I saw him spinning, and, you know, lo and behold, they put him in the back, and I'm like, well, you know, normally it's hard to get back up to the front because you start getting up the top five or six cars, and there's some hard cars to get around, you know. And, I mean, there was about 15 or 18 to go or something, or 20 to go. He was right there on my back bumper, and I'm like, well, let's see if we, you know, what he can do. And he was all over my back bumper. And, I mean, I told him, I said, you know, he said, well, I always told these guys I could drive if I just had a car under me. And he did. Now, if he don't touch it, he'll have a good car this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. You guys are racing at DeSoto this weekend. I don't think I'm going to be there. I think I'm going to go ahead and save my car. Now, Billy, I do expect to see you on the 14th now because I've gotten Bobby to agree to our terms. 2750, four barrel, super.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to come, right? You're roped in.
I may or may not, because my kids are supposed to race again at DeSoto. And like we just talked about, I have so much fun with racing them that if they ended up racing at DeSoto this weekend and I didn't, and they raced again next weekend, I probably would take them. Just for the simple fact that I appreciate, you know, what you've done and what, you know, Bobby's doing there, and I really want to be there, but I don't know, man. I tell you what, when you get kids and going racing and stuff, and even the enjoyment that my parents are having, my mom probably would have ran across the racetrack at her age just to go give Corey a big hug. I mean, we had everybody. I mean, my whole family was on the front straightaway taking a picture with Corey. I mean, he was excited. You know, Dylan parked his car over by the bullpen, over by the tech area, and he ran across the racetrack to give his brother a hug and just seeing that. I mean, and like I said before, I'm all about family. I mean, my family goes with me each and every week, and you know, I want to go. I mean, my sponsor actually wants me to go, but I don't know. It's
family is more important. There's no doubt.
I'm not going to say I'm not going to be there. If my kids tell me, no, Dad, you go ahead and race, you know, we'll go ahead and go watch you, that would be their fault. I'm going to leave it up to them. If they tell me, because, you know, they're on a pretty good high, first and third, it's the first time they both run in the top three. I know Corey's really excited to get back in that car again, you know, especially after winning a second time out. So I'll probably leave that up to them.
I have a message for you. Jason Beckner told me to tell you, hey.
Oh, tell him I say.
His little boy was hospitalized, and he's a pretty sick little kid right now.
Oh, really?
So,
what's up?
He got dehydrated and a bunch of he's still going through a lot of tests. He's got to see his pediatrician, and they got fever down, and
send our best.
Yeah, well, you make sure you keep them in your prayers, and
I will do it.
So, what
else?
Yeah,
you know, Billy, I'm fixing to have a son in October.
Oh boy, here we go.
It's going to be a little bonehead running around, little junior bonehead. Yeah, I can't wait. You know, when I think about it, think about him potentially racing. You know, it's going to be something else. So I can feel right where you're at there for sure. But you know, no matter what, be safe. You know, good luck next week. I think you definitely had a handle on what's going on. You know, Schofield, he's got, you know, the world by the bottom right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's tough. But I told him, I said, there will be a day that he's not on his game. And the day he's not going to be, I will be.
All right.
Yeah, folks, for those of you that...
The last two times he's been out and he's won, and we run second to him, he's actually got out of the car tired. And he's a whole lot younger than I am.
You know, I noticed that.
I haven't really had to drive that hard this year that much. I said, well, you can rest assured that if I'm behind you, I'm not going to let you just drive off and have an easy win. I'm going to make you work for it.
That's right.
Well, Billy, we got to take a little break here. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. And thanks for having me.
Take it easy,
Billy.
Tell
Kim and the boys I said hey.
I will do it. Thank you.
Good night, Billy. Thank you.
All right.
All right, there you have it, Billy Bigley Jr. good friend of mine, raced with him a lot. For you, those of you folks that may not know him, let me tell you what, he used to race the Craftsman Super Trucks.
Good guy.
He's been around. He's a good guy to get information from. You know, there's, I always tell people that, you know, that go around and ask 10 different people. You ask 10 different people a question, you probably get 10 different answers. He's one of those guys, you could ask him a question and listen to what he says, you probably have a pretty decent outcome.
Won the 1998 Governor's Cup, Florida Governor's Cup, races in the Hooters Pro Cup, and he's one hell of a nice guy.
He's pretty special to everybody that knows him.
We got a video on Karnak of the night his son, I forget which one, won his first race. I wasn't videotaping that. I was videotaping Billy.
Was he bawling?
Billy and his wife. Oh, they were going crazy. It's Eric Karnak. People go check it out. But it was pretty wild. You know, I guess we need to make a couple of announcements here. Next week on the Inside Florida Racing, we're gonna lure him back again. But next week we have Dick Anderson.
Yes.
Is going to be a very special guest on the show, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time with Dick and cover a lot of ground.
He's a character.
No doubt.
That's an understatement.
Person, yeah. Another person that it would be wise to listen to if he tells you something about racing.
Absolutely. He works a lot with a lot of youngsters. These days he spends a lot of time working with David Wilson, who's racing in the ASA. Then on the 10th, the following night on Real Racing USA Live, the Tuesday night show, is TBARA night up at the Snook River Grill. TBARA guys are bringing in their cars. Last time we had a packed house, we had about 50, 60 people.
Yeah, the food's good there at that
show
place.
So that's they're gonna come in, and then that following week, of course, they race at DeSoto Speedway. The next Monday after that, on the 16th of July, Don Nerone is going to be front and center for an extended interview.
In person or on the
in
phone?
In person.
In person.
Wow,
Sandy, I think
you could get me back.
See, you're back.
We could probably get you back here. You could get me back.
We cannot say who it is, but the following night on Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, we have a NASCAR celebrity, and he's a racer, and we can't say who he is yet, but very soon, in the next few days, we'll be able to.
Well, I hope it's my buddy David Rudiman.
And it's somebody who races in the Cup, so enough said on that. Then, on the 23rd, on Monday night, oh my God, we can't talk about that either. But then on the 24th of July, we got all this stuff we can't talk about. The 24th is going to be so bad. This is the Sunshine Reunion up at the Steak.
I can't wait. Are you going?
Quaker Steak and Lube. Yep. This is something Rick Angie's. The night we did the Pete Orr Memorial kind of show in memory of Pete Orr up at Snook River Grill, which was an awesome show. That was the night we had Darrell Waltrip on. Afterwards, and we were out talking after the show, and Rick said, you know, we ought to have a Sunshine Reunion show. Something during that show sparked that, and we sort of put that, oh, yeah, we should do that. Well, now we already know it's going to be a packed house. Wall-to-wall people.
How many hour show is that?
Well, we're going to start. Well, actually, what the reunion is, a party that starts in the after, probably around 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 24th, at the Quaker Steak and Lube up in Pinellas Park. And then we're going to broadcast, I believe, from 6 till 9, live. And, of course, we're going to do a lot of interviews that won't be live at the time. A lot of there's going to be so many people there that we're going to want to talk to.
You know something that I miss that I don't know if you guys ever even used to be a part of. Did you ever go to any of Dave Pletcher Racing Christmas parties?
No, I never.
Did you ever hear about them?
There you go.
I mean, let me tell you, that man used to throw a party for Christmas every year, the biggest cookout. From poker to live bands, he had it all, and they did it every year. So maybe this Quaker Steak and Lube thing would be something like that.
I've never seen a New Year's Eve party. I mean, a party like Dave Pletcher's. Yeah. They start at 7 in the morning. He's got 2 or 3 live bands.
We want to put 1,000 people in there just to show there is a need for a racetrack in that part of the country.
Listen, I would love to see the track open back up as long as Bonnie Hill didn't have anything to do with it. It would be fine with me. And so, you know that they already got their money and they're gone. So,
just commentary from Inside Florida Racing.
Hey, that's the way he feels. That's the way
it
is.
Oh, no, that's all a personal opinion, but it's an opinion from having years of experience there because I was spent years at Sunshine Speedway and learned. That's where I learned how to race. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about Sunshine Speedway, just I didn't like the way it was managed a little bit, you know. And personal opinion, you know how those are, right, Gary? Yeah. I think I got kicked out of there. I think was the last thing. I think is the last thing. They took my money because I didn't want to tear my motor apart for finishing. I think I finished seventh. And they did some pill draw for the third one to tear the motor apart. And the guy that they pulled his pill, right? He was supposed to tear his motor apart. He had hit the wall during the race. So they went and pulled another pill. And guess whose number they pull out? Me. I finished like seventh or eighth. And they called me down there to tear my motor apart for the little bit of money they were giving me in the $40 casket money. And
can you imagine what it'd be like if they opened Sunshine Speedway again?
That'd
be a
huge
traffic jam from here to New York.
It would be big for that town. The thing is what would happen.
Little bit of money they were giving me in the $40 casket money. And can you imagine what it'd be like if they opened Sunshine Speedway again? That'd be a huge traffic jam from here to New York. It would be big for that town. The thing is,
oh, hey,
half the money they were giving me in the $40 casket money. And
yeah,
that's what was going on.
Yeah, we have somebody who just kind of snuck in the studio here on us. Yeah, wasn't that eerie? That was eerie.
I was hearing myself talk.
Very weird.
Scary.
I thought I was Sunshine fan.
Oh no.
Yes. Turn your computer down and join the party.
Hey, we got it. We just turned it down.
So we're speaking about, you know, Sunshine Speedway. This is Rob Elting you're talking to, Bonehead. I've raced many a lap around that place, and you know, I have a lot of fond memories there of a lot of different things, you know, from starting racing, whether it was even in go-karts early in the day or, you know, street stocks, to my first late model that I bought from Wayne Bowman racing it there. And
Well,
if you were a Sunshine fan, then you probably didn't like Bonnie Hill either.
OSF is pretty much a Bronson, Ocala, pretty much, right?
Well, yeah, but I started Sunshine in 1962.
Ah,
wow.
Like,
that's before I was born, dude.
1962.
You're aging yourself. What are you?
Yeah, the track opened.
You're as old as Jack.
If I got it right, I think the track opened the last part of 61, and I started going over there at 62. I had to sneak over there because my dad didn't like the idea of racetracks and the people that hung around racetracks and all that, so I had to tell him I was going to Dixie Holland's high school football game and sneak over to the track.
Yeah, you know, a lot of racing.
I don't think you know him, Bonehead, but a lot of us know Bob is his real name, from the Karnak board. He's been on there since I can remember.
OSF.
When did you OSF. You've been posting on there for how many years now?
I'm not sure. I'm going to tell you. I'm trying to think back. 5 or 6 years, probably.
Eight. And how many people have you met in person and become personal friends with because of the Karnak board?
Well, you know, that's the best part of, other than the actual watching the races and participating in that, I love going to the tracks and meeting people that know different people from Karnak, but I really get a bang out of introducing them to other people from Karnak. I love to have somebody come up to me at a track and say, oh, you're OSF, I've read what you said or whatever, and I say, well, wait a minute, you know, Carol's over here, or you know, Carol Newton and JD that just recently passed away. I introduced them to a lot of different people from Karnak, and I like making the connection between somebody that reads the stuff on Karnak but doesn't write in, but knows different people from Karnak, and I let them put a face to a name, and that's what I get a big kick out of.
It is. It's a lot of fun. I mean, I met everybody I met in racing because of that board.
Yeah, yeah. And I've brought a lot of people up to you, Carol, or, a.k.a. Oz, and introduce them to you. They say, you know, they know you from the board, but they didn't know who you were, so I bring them up to you. And, well, just last time I saw you at Ocala, I introduced you to Asphalt Gambler and Stir Fry.
Yes.
And, you know, they're all good people. Everybody that is associated with racing and the Karnak, it's a good family to be part of.
Yeah, it's a nice, definitely a great website for information. If you're into racing, Karnak is the place to be. And if you want to talk to different folks that like racing like yourselves at different racetracks, it's broke up into enough areas that I think it keeps the separation there, keep everybody happy in their own area.
Unfortunately, a lot of people think that the board is the only thing going on at Karnak. And there are people who work very, very hard writing stories and giving us results and all kinds of stuff going on.
I think they read everything.
Some of them do, but not all of them do.
Oh, yeah, they're looking for that track, you
there's
know, that they want to know about.
There's a certain small group. Actually, there's a small group of people. It used to be different. There was a point where we really actually got discouraged because this was about 5 years ago. There was a point where we got really discouraged because everybody hung out on that message board, and as OSF could attest to, it wasn't always pleasant. And
I only put things on there because I didn't like Bonnie and what she had done to me, okay?
And then about 5 years ago, it changed. The dynamics of the thing changed. We got rid of about 25% of the people who were posting all the nonsense on the board, and more people. So now the actual people who read the news reports and the news articles and so forth actually outnumber the people who post on the board, which is, you know.
Yeah, if people keep it in a positive light, it's a good thing. If they start to get negative, there's no time for that.
A little bit of negativity is okay because it keeps people on their toes and fix things up that are not right. But you're right. When it comes to character assassination, that's what we don't like.
So,
it's so easy to hide behind a keyboard. You know, if they want to say something, say it to the individual's face. Don't say behind their back.
Yeah, me, I choose a microphone.
Yeah, well, everybody has their own shield.
Yeah.
So, give us your assessment of where racing is in Florida today.
Give you my assessment of what?
Of the state of racing in Florida today. I mean, you've been following this since obviously a long, long time. You know, how is this? Give us your assessment of where we are and how it's going in racing in Florida.
Well, I've covered, I've hit every track north of, including Charlotte, north. Every track in Florida, some in Georgia. I followed the Hooters up in the Carolinas. But Florida right now, my favorite two classes are the Super Late and Modifieds. Where it's come right now, I think everybody's cleaned up their act. You see some good racing. In particular, when I go to a track, I try not to have any favorites. What I want to see is a good, close, tight battle for the lead. Typically, I only have one person I have a lot of favoritism towards, and that's Travis Cope, of course, because I watched the Copes grow up. But other than that, I like to see good, tight racing. I like to see a battle. I wish that they would go back to putting nobody's going to like this, you know, but I'd like to see the fast lap cars, the fast time cars, way back in the field and work their way up. I hate to see them running straight up.
Yeah, that's not a bad deal. I mean, that's what's always good about a pill draw. At least it does something to, you know, get the fast guys back. But
well, that's like with Wayne Anderson the other night at Charlotte County. He started
exactly
at the end of the field at, 20?
And he came up the third. That's the type of thing I like to see. Yeah.
Did you see the race?
No.
Well, you would have loved to see me because I went to the rear twice and at least finished seventh.
Yeah.
No, it was a good show. You know, I obviously like super late model racing. Even the limited show that Bobby runs there. I mean, it's that track you can only go so fast. Anyways, I think that we'll see when we run the supers there that. You know, I'll be surprised if they get in the 1490s. You know, I think they're going to still stay in the low 15s, just like what the limiteds run. Hell, I think that Mike runs as fast as I think you can get a late model around there with the car that he's got. And he says he's showing up with a different super late model, so we'll see if he's even faster.
Right.
What's your favorite track in the state of Florida and why?
my favorite track.
Mm-hmm.
There's some partiality comes out of this. It's going to be Bronson because it's a hard track, and it's a much better track than what it was years ago. Mike's turned things around there big time.
That's but, dirt, right?
It's an asphalt track, and it's like a bowl. It has the most banked corners of any track that you'll race at in the state of Florida. And, since Mike took it over, he made it a real racetrack, you know, and put a wall around it. Because it had a serious, let me tell you, that racetrack down the back straightaway, let me tell you what, it about flip over back there and hurt yourself, huh?
Yeah. He took that bad dip out of the turn four.
Sweet.
He used to have that bad that dip in there where it was even coming out of the pits, you know, you come down. And there's a bad dip in there.
Terrible dip, yes.
And I never went. I never liked going to that track years ago, unless there was some race going on with Jimmy Cope, Dickie Anderson, and or Mike, and then I'd go there. Since Mike bought it and changed it around, I like it. Some people claim that there's no passing there, but if you get the right people on the track, there's a lot of passing.
You can pass there for sure. It definitely has two distinct different corners that I'm sure haven't changed. You probably still drift up when you drive into one through the center of one and two in order to get around there. And that's what always made that track, different. You know, it's nice to have. We used to have. That's a good thing about all of our tracks. When we had Hialeah, Hialeah was flat. We had Sunshine. Yeah. Sunshine was a track that had two entirely different corners on it. It was tough to tame. You got Charlotte County. That's a great small track to race. DeSoto, great track. You know, that's the good thing about all of our tracks
in
Florida.
Do you remember Sunshine when it didn't have any fence all the way around it?
No, I was only born in 1966 and only started racing probably, in the late 80s. I started racing go-karts and got into racing cars. But
my second choice of tracks is Ocala because that's a hard track to master.
Yes, I love that track.
It is tough. Let me tell you, I could imagine when that was a dirt track, how hard it must have been to drive it as a dirt track shaped the same way. And when you race on it, you're turning the whole time on the back straightaway, so anybody gets into you. I've seen some serious wrecks there and been in a couple serious wrecks there. Had an oil line come off one time driving into turn one and hit the wall pretty hard. But, yeah, those are two cool tracks to watch. Definitely watching races there. Those two tracks are really good. For me, driving as a driver, I think one of my favorite racetracks to race on was Lake City. Like I said before, Columbia Motorsports Park, the surface itself, just made it to where you could really go fast and keep control of your car, and the track was good. And my favorite small racetrack used to be Bronson, even the Bronson of old. I used to love to go there because I'd always qualify good and I'd run pretty good, you know, against Jimmy and Dave Pletcher and Buggy and all those guys that used to run the Florida Pro Series. Then I was pretty competitive against them. And at that time, I had a relative that lived there in Bronson. So it was a nice place to go on Friday night and practice and be able to race on Saturday. Do you live there in the Bronson area now?
No, I'm in Tampa.
Oh, you're in Tampa. So, that's where I lived. I lived in Zephyr Hill. So it was a lot easier to traverse to all these tracks because I was centrally located. Now I've moved to Ponte Gorda, so I'm strictly sticking to these southern tracks that are here. Which
now Columbia, I heard a little while ago somebody say that they haven't done anything to the surface at Columbia.
No, that's what he was saying, not to the surface, but the actual, they've put a wall around the track.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I haven't been there to see for myself, but.
Did they pave the infield? Somebody told me they paved the infield.
Oh, I'm sure they probably did something there. I mean, I know that at the time, that last time I raced there, Bert had paved the actual pit, you know, where you could drive down through a pit, but that was it. They still had it all dirt there, so I would imagine if somebody came and bought it, that would have been the money they'd put in it. That would have been smarter money than putting a wall around it.
They used to drag a lot of crap out on the track in the turn one when they came out.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a sandy place, but
that's always been a track that I said if I was ever in a position to buy a track, that would be the one I'd want to buy.
Yeah, close to the interstate, hotels by it. You know, it always worked out good for Bert, you know, and I personally always liked Bert. I thought Bert tried hard to, keep a series going, and, him and Don, they obviously never saw eye to eye about anything, and as a late model driver, I always felt like that we were the ones that were caught in the middle. And, you know, everybody has opinions about late model racing today. All right.
You're right.
I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is that I got a steel-headed flat-top motor just like I used to have back then.
Right.
And it's not a steel flat-headed flat-top motor that costs $40,000, you know. It costs me less to build my flat-top than it would for me to buy a progressive spec motor. A progressive spec motor in the Super is a high-compression motor. Well, back in the day, if you ran a flat-top, you ran a 750. If you ran a high-compression, you ran a 390 or a two-barrel. If you ran the 9-to-1, you ran a 390 or a two-barrel. So right. Now the progressive spec is great. These guys are loving it. Sure, they're loving it. They're getting to put a four-barrel on a high-compression motor. So, you know, to build a flat-top, you've got to have a 625-horse flat-top to do anything against these high-compression, you know, spec motors. But sure. Me, that's my opinion. I think that they should have left things like they were. The spec motor came in there, I believe, so some guys can make some money selling some motors. But if you have a class where everybody runs a five-star body and everybody runs a progressive spec motor, well, who's making all the money?
Right.
The guys selling the bodies and the guys selling the motors. And that's not racing. That is not how racing was made. So I go ahead and race along with it. I mean, I don't even care. Like, when I go and run at Charlotte County Motorsports Park in that limited race, I take my Super there. I weigh 3,000 pounds and put a two-barrel on it and go out there and slug around the racetrack.
What do you think, Bob?
I kind of wish it was the old way.
Hey, by the way, I meant to ask you, are you coming down to Charlotte County for the big Super Late Model race on the 14th?
The 14th of July?
Yes, sir.
No, I'm leaving next week. I have to go. I don't have to. I'm going to Ireland for a couple weeks.
Oh, poor you.
He's going to get drunk.
You should go to France. You should go to France instead. You know why?
It's safer.
Well, that's...
Right now, there's a lot of...
Well, it's Bastille Day.
Huh?
It's Bastille Day.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go to either
Catch
one.
Catch up, man.
I wouldn't go to either one. If I was going to go, I'd go to Amsterdam.
Yeah, and this week, are you going over to the 4th of July to the Clyde Hart Memorial at New Smyrna Speedway?
I plan on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that should be a good one. They also have 75 laps of truck racing, and that truck series is now drawing a pretty good field of cars.
Yeah. Let me tell you, as a fan, what I like to do when I go to these tracks, too, is I have an RV, or actually a travel trailer, and I usually get to these tracks either the day of the track race early or the day before, and when the race is over, I go out and go to bed, and then I leave the next day. All these tracks in Florida, mid-Florida, are very okay with that. And it saves me from driving back the same night and everything. And it kind of stretches out, and it's like a little, if you will, a mini vacation. And Mike allows people to stay up there like that, and so does New Smyrna.
Bobby does, too.
I've done it at DeSoto. I've done it at Columbia. I've parked right outside the fence there, right outside the, beside the four turn. And it's kind of interesting. There's a handful of people that do that.
Well, that sounds good. I mean, definitely, I don't see why any track promoter wouldn't want somebody to come spend the night instead of having to drive, because most of them drink that aren't racing. They're drinking, and even after the race, they drink. So I think Bobby Deal definitely lets them do it there, but he encourages them that the track is closed once the lights are off. Have you heard that story, Jack?
No, I haven't heard that story.
Yeah, they've actually had somebody crank up their car about 1 o'clock in the morning and go run around the racetrack.
Oh, God.
So, you know, that's the only thing track promoters, I think, look out for, is they're always worried about somebody's going to get on their track. But I think they're getting a – I don't know. I think Bobby, he's a great track promoter when it comes to being a fan-friendly guy and also a racer-friendly guy, which I think maybe the racer-friendly might be starting to get him a little bit in trouble. But
they got two nights of racing this week, too.
OSF, you were talking about, you mentioned earlier about Travis Cope. You know, you've been following him. And Travis, he had a pretty darn good run in the ASA late model race at New Smyrna. And we talked with him last week. He was one of the drivers on our ASA Fast Lane show.
Right.
And, you know, he's really growing up, and it's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, you know, they were hoping to do something with him, and they didn't quite pull it off. They wanted to get him on Sunshine
track before it closed to have another generation there. And they didn't pull it off, and it's a shame because I was really looking forward to that. But, you know, you're right. He's come along quite well in a short period of time. With his bloodline and the advice he's got, the experience that his dad has, his uncle has, he should do well.
Does he drive like Jimmy or Mike?
Excuse me?
Does he drive like Jimmy or Mike?
He drives like Travis.
He does.
He's got his own style.
Absolutely. And, you know, he is – it's so funny because people have been around racing in Florida a long time. They have certain opinions about Jimmy Cope, you know, and you know how that all goes. Fans are fans. And Mike and stuff. And Travis, he doesn't fit the mold at the present.
No. Really?
He drives like Travis.
Yeah.
It's a funny thing. You ask that question, if he drove like Jimmy or Mike. When Mike first started, I was one of Mike's first sponsors, back when sponsorship was helping out with a few dollars.
Right.
Nothing like it is now with fast cars. But if Mike's listening right now, he may want to agree with us or disagree, but it's the way we felt at that time. He was trying to drive, I think, in my opinion, like Jimmy. And he was getting himself in some jams and all. And once he calmed down and drove his own race and didn't try and be like Big Brother, he came right along. And he did a whole lot better. Once he calmed down and picked up his own style, he learned a lot from his brother. But once he got into his own groove, that's when he started moving along.
I think Jimmy Cope is one of the most exciting racers around.
Well, that's how you get the name Mr. Excitement.
I guess that would do it.
Him and Dickie racing together will draw a crowd every time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's no doubt. I mean, I when I think back on my days of racing, I used to enjoy racing against those guys. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there beating them because I didn't have the kind of equipment, but I could beat them when they broke. But you know what? Racing against those guys made me a good racer, and I have passed them on the racetrack at times of races, you know, and Dickie especially. You know, Dickie was always one of those guys that would have that helping hand out. You know, he was never arrogant, at least with me. And, you know, I'm sure he may be with somebody. All of us have our arrogant times, I'm sure. But Anderson family was good. The Cope family's good, you know. Pletcher's. I mean, that's just a group of people that raced together for years, had arguments on the racetrack, but still, they're all friends today. Every one of them could stand in a room and drink a beer together and have a good time.
Yeah. Well,
Bob?
Judge Figure Eight at Sunshine with Jim Cope Sr. and Bowman Sr.
We're going to have to take a break here, Bob. It's been such a pleasure having you on the show, and we got Jay Middleton coming on.
Okay, and are you going to have call-in people? Do you have fans call in and talk on the show?
Yes, we do, and the number is...
Yeah, the number is 941-228-8359. 941-228-8359.
Nobody can be mean to Bonehead either.
No.
Or me.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Bob.
Take it easy, Bob.
Have
good
a good night.
Yeah, we'll continue the track.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you again on the air soon.
Okay, though.
All right.
Well, have a good one.
All right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Pretty cool. Got to remember, again, next week on Inside Florida Racing, next Monday night, Dick Anderson, an extended interview with Dick Anderson. And the following week, it's always an extended interview when you get Don Nerone on, because you get a microphone near him, you might as well give up.
And nobody's allowed to bring tire irons.
When you talk about Dick Anderson, Dick Anderson is known as the king.
That's right.
The King Dick.
That's right.
And
that's right.
The definitely, you know, you guys might end up getting me to come back, because you definitely got some good guys coming in here.
You know, the first, you don't know this, but, you know, the first time I ever saw a stock car race in my life was in 1995. See, I'm new to this, okay, compared to you folks.
Not really. I mean, I started in 92.
Okay, so 1995, I go to DeSoto Speedway for the Icebreaker. Never been to one of these deals before in my life.
It was hot, wasn't it?
And it was hotter than hell. But it was the Icebreaker. And, of course, I lived in Manatee County, but... I'd never gone out there, so we go out there, and this circus is getting going, and they finally get the real show that I came, you know, these big late models, right? And there was a whole mess of them. I don't know. There had to have been at least 25 or so. There was a lot of cars back in them. And Dick Anderson was out front right off the bat, and Jimmy Cope was right on his bumper, and that's the way it was the whole 125 laps.
Some of my best racing that I remember watching, okay, would be some of those races at DeSoto,
yep,
with Dick Anderson, Jimmy Cope, a guy named Randy Warren that people may or may not remember. He was a big guy. He used to race the number 27 that I race today, you know, the number I use, but he used that number. He used to do a lot of passing on the outside on the restarts, and that was one of the things that I learned early. If you're going to race and you're going to do anything at these short tracks, you better get good at the restarts because they allow you to pass on the outside on the restarts.
Yeah.
So back in the day, they'd start back on turn three. So there was a lot of passing that went on there because one thing hasn't changed a whole lot is the surface of the racetracks are still slippery. They were slippery back then when they didn't have good tires. They're still slippery today when we got good tires because the horsepower is more and more and more.
Right. Yeah. If
we only had a 400 or 500 horsepower super late model like they used to have, then I think you'd have more people racing today, and you'd obviously the tracks, the cars would probably handle a little bit better. There's so much horsepower in them that they only handle really good for a little while, and then they get tough to drive.
I spent a long time talking with Wayne Anderson the other night, and there's a show that we're working on that we can't really go into right now, but where we're going to talk to some of these guys that have been, you know, very successful over a long period of time, and they have some pretty good ideas, and they got some strong ideas about things. But one of the things that's actually one of the things that he pointed out is what you just said. We're going to go to a break. Before we go, as we go to break, this one is for all the guys who came and gals who came in second this past week.
I guess I'm born to be a loser. Lord, a loser just can't win. If I can't be your lover, woman, let me be your friend. Maybe I took a little bit too much for granted when I fell in love. But the killer can't have it, baby. I thought you loved me too. Oh, honey, I need you. But you walked away from Jerry Lee. Why in the world did you do it? Ain't nobody perfect, ain't you see?
Do good this year, then maybe something will happen and maybe we can get a late model or something. All the sponsorship, you gotta have sponsors to do this kind of thing because it costs a lot of money. So as long as the money's coming in, we can move up. So we'll see what happens.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neons. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
you need to raise your land and business to new heights, then you need to call Evergreen Development and Construction. They do it all, from land development, construction, drainage, excavating, site prep, and even environmental projects. No job is too big for Evergreen Development and Construction. Give them a call at 813-478-8847. And don't forget to check out the late model Evergreen Development Construction Race Team. They'll be at a track near you. And remember, just think green. Evergreen Development and Construction. 813-478-8847.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Mr. Movie Theater Ticket Ripper Upper.
Truly the long arm of the law at the movie theater. You and a...
Hello?
We're back.
We're back, and you're live, Linda.
No, don't put me on a radio show.
Nah. You're live on the radio show because we want to know what's going on at Charlotte County Speedway this weekend.
We're back.
Turn down your radio.
You there, Linda?
Linda.
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 Yes.
Speak up. What's going on at Charlotte County Motorsports Park this week?
This week we have the Firecracker Doubleheader Special.
Now, does that mean we're going to have two fights at the racetrack again?
We're going to have two nights of racing, two nights of fun.
Two nights of fun, Friday and Saturday night. So what goes on Friday night?
Friday night they have the USA Winged Sprint. They're supposed to have a big two-night event, and they're supposed to be having all these sprints that they're planning on coming from all these different tracks for a two-night event, I guess camping and all that stuff. So, because they originally had wanted to do a Friday night, every Friday night at the track, and just everything else going on, I guess this week they're going to try it out.
Well,
so Bobby is throwing some other classes in on the Friday night to see kind of what happens, because, well, if you were there Saturday, we kind of ran out of a little bit of time, and we have so many classes, and the classes are growing, so they're not the normal 5 and 6 cars. It's a lot of cars.
Now, Linda, you know Jack brought something to my attention that I didn't realize. This is Rob Elting,
yes,
the driver of the 27 late mm-hmm. model. He said you guys shorted us 7 laps during the race. Is that true? If it is, I'm glad that you did. But well, he said that they shorted 7 laps, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, maybe it's because of time restraints. I know it was getting kind of late. Did we get the whole show in that night? Did all the races get to get in?
You mean you left after your race?
No, I loaded up. I loaded. I had to load. I couldn't watch.
Got everything in, but we didn't get the laps in that we, you know, and it didn't really turn out the way we had hoped to. But,
well, that's another show. What we want to find out is what's going on this weekend at
show. Saturday night. Now, we went Friday night.
We
what's
did
Saturday
Friday.
Night?
Let's
more.
Do
we
Saturday.
We have the USA Winged Sprint Friday night. We have Thunder Trucks are running 35 laps. We have Fab Fours are running. And he's bringing back the Mini Stocks and Mod Minis, which Mini Stocks he's calling our Pro Fours. Our Pro Fours think that they're being left out, but we want to make them into Mini Stocks. So they will be running Pro Fours, Mini Stocks, Mod Minis, and then a 35-lap Road Warrior race on Friday night.
Wow. That's a big show.
Yeah. And on Saturday, we have the USA Wing Sprint. We have Outlaw Street Stock, which runs 50 laps. We have the Super Stock. And then we have $1,000 to win Figure 8 Enduro, which is, he's calling it the Charlotte Road Warriors versus the DeSoto Superstock.
We got Gary LaPlante from the Outlaw Street Stock sitting with us here now.
Yes.
How you doing, Linda?
Hey.
That's also a challenge race for the other tracks on that Outlaw Street Stock, and that's $1,000 to win also for your Saturday night show.
On July 7th?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, the Outlaw Street Stock, right, 50 laps. And we'll also have, like I say, hopefully the Road Warriors and the DeSoto cars. And we also have the Fab Fours running both nights, Friday and Saturday. So And we're going to try it out, and we're going to see, you know, so we're having our practice will be Thursday night, same time, from 4 or 5, whatever time they show up.
Can those Outlaw Street Stocks run in the figure eight race?
I think it's their tires that they have to change.
That's it?
Correct, Gary?
I believe so, yeah. We'd have to put the regular DOT tires on.
Come on, Gary, you can do it.
Nah,
you can do it.
We don't run the figure eight.
We got a rabble rouser here, Linda.
Them Lacey boys will run it.
I know. I talked to him Saturday at the track.
Well, I know you're going to kill me tomorrow, but I thank you so much for your information, and thank you so much for everything you do at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. I know how hard you work down there.
Well, thank you. As you can tell, I was listening as I was working on the schedule. That's why I was had it right in front of me here.
Yes, I'd like to say something, too. From watching Linda since Bobby has taken over, I had been around and saw a lot of things that had gone on, and she's hung in there. She's there, and she's doing a great job in keeping that stuff together, because I'll tell you, Saturday was a long, very long, hot day for everybody.
Yeah.
And as the races continue to go on, you know, these problems arise, different problems arise, and you guys are constantly, you know, getting more and more handle on it. And from somebody that sat back and watched, I think that you've done a great job in doing your job that you do, and as well as keeping some of us other people in the background in line, too.
Well, there is no track in this state that has a better person in the front office.
A better Linda? There's not a better Linda at another racetrack.
There is.
I feel the love today, you know, I'm telling you. It's in me, you know, and you get caught up in it, and I do it for, you know, the love of racing. I love that little track. And, you know, I was there at 8 o'clock Saturday morning, and I was the last one. Me and Bobby were locking the door at the end of the night. But that's what it's about, you know. It's not about anything else, but... And there's so much more that you can do and want to do. It's like, you know, you want to do for the drivers and take care of them because, hey, if it wasn't for you drivers, none of us would be there and none of us would have a job, you know. But yet you don't want them to kind of take advantage of. So you're really, like, kind of walking a tightrope some of the times, you know, but trying to pacify everybody but not letting certain ones kind of take advantage of you. But it's all for the love of racing and, you know, it's worth it most of the time.
That's very true, Linda. And this is Gary, and I appreciate the weekends that we're there, and even the weekends I'm not. I enjoy working beside you. It's really a pleasure to sit down and talk with you and help you out any way I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, like I say, it's just, you know, trying to know what's going on all the time so you can be there to answer questions, because by the time a driver or a fan or anybody, an employee, gets to, like, the fourth person, because the first three didn't know what they were talking about, you have, like, a worse situation than, you know, the question that they asked to begin with, you know, so.
Well, I hope you're going to forgive me for this, Linda. Because
I will. Like I say, you were lucky because I have the schedule right in front of me. I'm working on it.
We've got to take a break now. We got Jay Middleton coming on, and thank you so much for everything you do for the track, and I'm proud to have you as a friend.
Yeah, Linda, give the phone number of the racetrack real quick in case anybody's got any questions
okay,
they want to talk to you.
575-7223.
That's right. There'll be somebody actually you can talk to there. 9 times out of 10, it'll be her.
7 o'clock in the morning till after 5 when I leave.
Thanks,
all right, Linda.
Linda.
We'll see you.
Have a good night.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Yes, definitely. Linda has been taking care of business over there at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, and I know I've had a chance to, like I said, be in the background and see her at work and know that whole situation there. The background of a racetrack operation is totally different than anybody could ever imagine.
On a Saturday, she gets there about 7 or 8 in the morning. She was on the computer at 2 a.m. the next morning posting results. She's phenomenal.
Yeah, and
I was there at I went up Friday night to talk with Bobby about some things, and Bobby and I took couple people up to Sarasota and came back, but Linda was there at 7:30 when we got there, and we worked hand to hand to get everything. There's a lot to get the track just prepared to open the gate up at 2 o'clock.
That's another show.
We're doing a whole show on Linda another time.
We can do a Linda show.
All right, we're gonna do a Linda show. All right, who we got coming on?
We got Jay Middleton coming on.
Super late model racer
number 74. from Lake City, Florida.
Been a while since I've raced against him. Was back in the Florida Pro Series days and Columbia Motorsports Park, the old Bert Ashelman days. Jay Middleton.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. You got Carol here, and this is Rob Elting, a.k.a. Bonehead, you know, number 27. We used to race together, Charlotte, at Columbia Motorsports Park, you know, during the Florida Pro Series back when Bert owned it.
Oh, yeah.
Back when we used to run those 200-lap races for the big money. You remember those?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are good ones. I like those. I definitely love Columbia. It's my favorite track around here.
See, he's just like me. That's what I was saying, is the surface of that track always made it to where seemed like a guy that you didn't have to have all that motor, you know, to really go there and run good. So,
yeah, the track surface is one of the best. Just put some really good races there. You can come up off the bottom and pass people, and you know, you can go to the outside if you have to. So, I mean, it's one of my favorite tracks where I learned how to drive on.
Yeah, it's unfortunate I hadn't been there since the wall had got taken down, and I haven't raced there, so I don't know if I can still run down there like we used to. We used to drop the tire off the bottom of the racetrack to get it to go around good. Well, can you still do that?
You can still do it.
Yeah, sweet.
What do you got going on now, Jay?
Well, we're putting together our ARCA car. We were going to go to Kentucky, but the sponsorship fell through for us, and looks like we're going to be probably trying to run Nashville, but hopefully that'll all work out. We have some sponsorship secured for that, but, you know, we're just clipping along. We've been filming a reality show down here in Bronson Motor Speedway. That's pretty exciting stuff.
That's where I saw you last. I just saw that on TV the other day.
Show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a
pretty cool reality show too. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we've been filming it. We're on, I guess, about our seventh episode coming up this Saturday. We filmed all the way through nine, and we're coming back out to the track to film the season finale for it. And it's just kind of a real good deal for us. It's a really exciting show. You know, we've gotten better as it's gone along. We've learned some stuff, how to do it. And it's a totally different thing for me. You know, I'm used to going out there and racing and not used to talking about it on TV, you know. But it's been a really good deal, and it's been a lot of fun. And I'm just glad for the opportunity, you know.
Yeah, you know, Jack's over here asking me what it's about. And I think I could run a lap as quick as you. Be honest with you.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah?
Give me an opportunity to come down there. I think I could do it. You know, that's what I've been waiting to see. I've been waiting to see you get a ringer. So what do you got? You make sure that you don't have somebody that can race, or what's the story?
Well, what it is the reality racing, you know, the concept is that we take people who have never driven a race car before. They kind of apply for it like American Idol, and we go through an application process. You know, they've never raced. You know, some light racing is okay. Like if they did it way back in the day or only for a short period of time, that's usually been okay. But, you know, little to no racing experience at all. And put them in the race cars and then let them try to, you know, live their dream and go out there and compete and see what they can do. And, you know, it's kind of like Fear Factor. We put them through different challenges and see what they can do on different stuff and put them head-to-head against each other in the race cars at the end. And usually turns out to be pretty fun to watch, you know. These guys are pretty amped up about it.
Has anybody flipped upside down yet? I know with that the way that wall is, that could happen.
Oh yeah, I mean Travis Cope did it there, you know, the last Goodyear Late Model Series. He went up on the side, didn't flip, but fortunately we really haven't had much, you know, damage to the cars. Really, I mean, there's been a few rubbing his racing kind of deals, but nobody's gotten hurt, and they've all went out there and just had a blast doing it, going out there and running. These guys aren't used to doing that, and they just love it the best. You know,
who came up with that? Who came up with the idea, Jay?
Lee Schaefer is the owner and kind of the, you know, brains behind the operation. He's an older gentleman that just loves racing and come up with the idea and kind of made it happen.
It was a great concept. I thought the show was really good. You know, it's funny that you brought that up, and it rang a bell to me. Why don't you go ahead and tell folks what channel it's on, where they can see it, what time?
It's on Spike TV on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. It, you know, every weekend, I think we had a break a couple weeks ago where they had a marathon on there and had to break it. But this week, coming weekend is the seventh episode out of 13, and you know, Saturday morning is 9 a.m. on Spike TV. Most people get Spike if you have cable and stuff. If you have satellite, I think it's hit or miss what package you have. But nationally, around the country. So,
you know, Jay, we miss seeing you around the super late model circuit in Florida.
Yeah.
And, you have a ton of fans, race fans out there that, haven't been able to see you. Are we going to be able to see you sometime in the near future?
Well, see, that's the funny thing about it. This is another kind of funny story. When we had this TV show, the first few episodes, they didn't have a car yet for the show. So we allowed them to use our car, and it made me really nervous putting people in. They only have one car now. It made me really nervous putting these people that have never driven a race car in there. But what ended up happening was one of the older gentlemen, I think on the third episode, he went out there and he had a brain fart and pushed the clutch in and hit full throttle all at the same time and ended up blowing my motor up.
Oh, no.
Did you cry?
Hey, Jay, you said that was kind of funny. What's funny about that?
It's not real funny to me, because that is, my engine builder, Dennis Boyd, he builds great motors, and for some reason that motor has just been phenomenal. It's putting out huge power, and he doesn't really know why. It's the best motor he's ever built kind of deal, and it's got tons of power. So, I'm trying to, take care of it, but what ended up happening, it didn't really blow it up. It bent every valve in it, and we were able to replace, and it wasn't that big a deal. So,
now they got a nice crate motor late model there for them to reuse now with a limiter on it.
Oh yes, they have three rev limiters in there, with crate motors, which is what those cars are now.
Yeah.
But whenever we're getting our motor back here soon, so moral of the story is we'll probably be back out there super late model racing not too long from now. So.
Yeah, I took probably about 5 years off and it just got back in it, and I've been really having a good time and. To see, see the same guys are still racing, it's just a good time, As we get older, it becomes a good time. Now we're going to have to start calling you Hollywood. You're going to have to get the nickname that Mike Franklin's got these days, because you're going to be the true Hollywood since you're getting the TV time,
No, I'm not worried about all that. I just like to go out there and go racing. That's what I told these guys when I started this show and everything. I was like, don't be trying to sign me up for anything else. I still want to race. I don't want to do any kind of Hollywood stuff. So,
well, always know this. Always know this, Jay. Hollywood can produce lots of racing money, okay? So never say no
exactly
to...
what I'm talking about.
We know. That's why we see you on there. And what's the name of the show again?
It's Reality Racing on Spike TV at 9 a.m. on Saturdays.
Yeah, I want people to watch that and see Jay on there. It's... Carol, you're going to have a good time seeing that because you haven't seen it before. When
I
you see
have
him on there...
too seen it before. Jay and I have been friends for a lot of years, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Carol's always been there for me.
Okay, I'm just making sure she's watching.
I'm paying attention, I'll tell you. When are you coming back here? Because we sure miss you on our short tracks around here.
I think what I'm planning on, depending on my motor situation and everything, if we get it back, I want to go to that Twin 100 at Columbia. So we might be out there for that one. And, there's another big Lakeland race coming up here soon. And, remembering back to January, I should have won two races down there. But, stuff happened. Finished second, and another time I passed for a lead and ended up getting sent in the rear. But, anyways, I want to head back down there, too. I've had some really good luck at Lakeland lately. And
well, I met you at Turn 2 at Charlotte County Speedway when you were still in school. So I think maybe you ought to come back and do a... what's the word I'm trying to look for?
Appearance. You need to come on down to Charlotte County Motorsports Park on the 14th of this month. Tell Dennis to get that motor tightened up, get it in the car, and bring it on down here. $3,000 to win.
I mean, the funny thing about it is I won my first late model race ever at Punta Gorda. Not the first 100 lapper ever. It was the Florida Pro Series down there. And,
that's right.
The first big race I ever won. So.
That's right. That's cool. Are you is there any possibility you're going to do the Triple Crown races at Lakeland?
There's a possibility. It all comes up. I think there might be a scheduling conflict with one of the ARCA races that we were trying to go to, but you never know. So we'll see how it all turns out, and hopefully I can give Carol a call here in a few weeks and make a bigger announcement about some stuff coming up.
You're getting me excited.
Sounds like sponsorship.
All right, man.
Sounds like big racing coming. Hey, good luck with your ARCA stuff, man. Be careful.
When you get that news, let me know, and we'll bring you back on the show.
You just got to remind people, we put a lot of pressure on this young man about 4 years ago, I guess it was. Was it 2004? Yes. It was in 2004. We put a lot of pressure on him because we started this thing called the Pete Orr Sportsmanship Award, and and we were looking at the whole concept of it and how it was going to be and what this was going to be about. And we decided that Jay Middleton, that year, he had not only had he had a great year of racing, he had handled himself, I mean, as professional as any young man you could expect to happen in a racing deal. And we gave him the award and gave him a lot to live up to. But you know what? He's done it every year. And I got to tell you, man, we still talk about it. Jane Smith and I talked about it just the other day. It's like we were so glad we did it because you were deserving of it, man.
If you know really Scott and Patty, his parents, you know the apple don't
absolutely
fall far from
absolutely
the tree.
Absolutely. But it's a lot of pressure, see? He's got to keep his act together. Cause he...
Yeah, man, it's not a problem for me. You know, that the Pete Orr Memorial, it's still, you know, that still, I keep that in my house, and it still holds a special place in my heart. I really, really, really appreciate it, and, you know, that people are out there and do, you know, award something like that. It's an amazing thing, and I can't say enough about it, you know. It really means a lot to me, guys. So...
Well, I just want to tell you what a pleasure it is to have you on our show, Jay, and we'd like to have you back again and wish you the best of everything. Hope all your dreams come true because you deserve them.
Yeah, good luck with that racing show, and I hope you get another season. I think you probably will because it's pretty interesting, and I've always said reality and racing, if there's anything that a reality TV show is made of, is a day at the racetrack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would
be really
something.
Don't have to stir things up very much. They pretty much take care of it themselves.
Yeah, maybe that'd be good if you could say, "Hey, you guys need to bring your cameras along with me to the ARCA race."
Yeah, that's the possibility. That's what we were planning on doing when we went to Kentucky, and you know, as it turns out, you know, we're not going to be able to make it there. But you know, we were going to do that, and it was going to be, you know, we're filming the season finale coming up here in a couple weeks, and that was going to be before the season finale, but. Looks like we're not going to be able to make that. It's gonna our next race is going to be after that, so not really going to be able to get it on air, but oh well.
Just try to win. If you win that race, it's going to make all the difference in the world.
Hey, we're trying to go to Nashville, and I play guitar myself. I'm a big music fan. I play the drums, I play bass and guitar, and if I could win that guitar, that would mean everything. You know, I don't have that guitar bad.
Well, listen, we got to get off of this and
you're booting it.
I'm not booting him. I
Are
would never boot him. It's a temporary boot. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
We got Troy and Danny Yates coming on and
more from Gary LaPlante.
And more from Gary LaPlante. Thank you so much, Jay. Hi to Mom and Dad, and we hope to hear from you again soon.
All right. Not a problem. Anytime.
Thanks.
Him,
night, right. Jay.
Take it easy. Imagine that. Now, are you going to watch the reality show now?
Absolutely.
Because you're the one that didn't know anything about it.
I knew nothing about it.
I can't believe that
you've got to be kidding.
I can't believe that you let him know nothing about Jay's show.
Let me tell you something. This is a man that stays up all night long working on radio shows, working on everything he does. And Saturday mornings, you are not going to call him.
Oh, it's Saturday morning?
Yeah,
yes.
9 o'clock in the morning.
So you owe me an apology. I do my job.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Gary LaPlante, what are we going to do with you? You've come all the way from Tampa here to the studio. What do you think about the studio?
I think it's
pretty sharp,
show.
Isn't it?
Yeah, pretty sharp. Great show.
How he built an 8-story studio is unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. 8 stories tall in a residential area.
No, 8 stories spoken.
It's Karnak Tower.
Yeah, it's a Karnak Tower. high above Northport.
Right, on the ocean, too.
Yes, it is waterfront somewhere, everywhere, actually, around here.
And pretty soon he'll be cooking up the filet mignons and...
Oh, what, do you got a craft food service table here, too? Boy, things are really good. Okay. Now, Gary, let's get back to talking about the Outlaw Street Stocks, the Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks. And I'm going to bring up, okay, we've got the Charlotte County thing figured out. That's where you're racing. Now, let's get back to the Auburndale thing, because I do think that we are going to see the Suncoast Outlaw Street Stocks at Auburndale.
Hopefully we will. We took the cars over there for the grand opening. And was talking to him about running them over there.
that's it? You're just in negotiation? Did you put them on the racetrack at all and show them?
No, not at all.
Well, I think Mr. Bobby Deal can probably help you out with that a little bit. Maybe
hopefully we'll be putting a show or two on over there.
I think it'll be good. You know, I like to see me. I want to see every racetrack stay open. Okay.
All right, man.
No matter what my feelings are about any particular track or the particular owner, it's like I always said. I told John this the other day. No matter what happens, John Sapricone at DeSoto, you need to keep your racetrack. If you sell your racetrack, sell it to somebody that's going to keep it a racetrack. If something was to happen, luckily Bobby got his deal extended. Thank goodness for all of us.
Very true.
Because if not, had they taken that track,
it'd have been gone.
The most southern racetrack's going to be John. And then, God forbid, somebody come and offer John a bunch of money.
Asphalt. Clue's been doing pretty good.
Well, I'm really glad to see that there's some other people paving.
But I got somebody special on the line right now, Danny Yates and his son Troy, I believe. And,
back in black.
Yeah, I think that might be the old number. There's two of them in there. Okay, go to the first, Troy.
Hey, what are you guys doing on the air right now? Hello, Troy, you there?
No, this is Danny.
Danny, hey, how are Danny. You, Danny? I mean, we're talking to you, but you guys are talking to each other. Now, let's talk about this hot rod son of yours. Okay, he's been out there tearing the track up. You know, I watch the races that go on, and I've been watching, you know, the sportsman's race. And since Bobby's taken over, and I've seen all the menagerie of arguments that have gone on, and I've seen some of the drivers mad at your son there. But, you know, mostly I see your son just hard-nosed driver. That's what he looks like to
right,
me.
Darn right, just like his daddy.
Just a hard-nosed driver, and he puts it to him, you know, and he takes that Camaro and puts it in the right places. And how old is Troy?
Well, Troy's 16 years old, and unfortunately right now he is not with me. And, you know, I promised Carol that he would be, but Troy's background, basically 16 years old, been in that sportsman car, I think now a total of 9 or 10 races. And, you know, he started out in go-karts at 4 years old, worked his way up into quarter midgets. We traveled all over the country. And, you know, the kids just kind of went through the ranks, so to speak.
Yeah, he's one heck of a racer, I'll tell you that. Danny, aside from racing and everything, I just want to quickly thank you for everything that you're doing in support of the racetrack. A lot of people don't know it, but you've been working your buns off there. And some of us who love the track really do appreciate your efforts.
Well, you know, it's all about keeping the family together and keeping the sport alive, especially in our areas. I mean, there's really nothing there as far as the racetrack or as far as racing goes in general. And, you know, it's just a good way to go out and, you know, have good, clean fun, not only for Troy and I, but for the family, you know. And we try to bring new fresh blood up, so to speak, every week. It's a really neat thing.
And for us in the stands as fans and parents and whatever, to see you and Troy and Billy and his boys and all the fathers that are there supporting their kids every week, it's really heart-wrenching. It's a good thing to see families pull together like that.
Well, it is. And like I said, it's good, clean fun. And it's not just on Saturday night. I mean, we'll work on that car flat out, you know, 3-4 days a week minimum. And like last week, we missed the race waiting on parts. We flat out just didn't get what we had to have to show up and be competitive. And, you know, we could have slapped in any old thing and showed up, you know, old tires, new tires, whatever, and just wouldn't have had the caliber car that we needed. And, you know, we mentioned about Troy being hard-nosed driver and everything like that. I mean, if you can't go to the front and win, you know, why show and, you know, tear your stuff up worse or someone else's? So,
no, that's what I see. I see some hard driving, no doubt. I see some hard driving in him.
What we got up there.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, the complaints that you get from guys that are older because they're not driving hard anymore. That's what happens, you know. I've watched, I've sort of watched that class, you know, as it's been making its way from the small and big tires, you know, and getting back on the big tires. And now, I don't know if you know about it, we got a new tire at Charlotte County now.
Right.
No more Goodyears.
I've got actually a lot of input on that tire from last week's late model and also sportsman race. And, you know, I've heard good and heard bad. And, you know, what I'll say about the new tire up there right now is, you know, I'd rather run it myself before I comment on whether it is good or bad. You know, Bobby Gill is a very smart person, and obviously he's put together a program that's been better in the past than a long time. I mean, back when I started in 99, 2000 racing up there, it was a fairly decent program. Everything was good. It kind of gelled, and, you know, from there, ownership issues and things like that came up, and, you know, it just kind of let everything fall apart. Not for the drivers more than, for the drivers it fell apart, but the ownership issues just kind of put the Charlotte County Speedway and the now Charlotte County Motorsports Park in a tailspin. And Bobby's been able to pull it together this far, and I see it doing nothing but getting better. And, you know, we're going to be a part of it, and the new tire might be a part of it, and, you know, we'll voice our opinion on the new tire when we get time to, you know, test on them and race on them and, you know, see how they hold up, see how they measure up.
You mentioned something about Bobby, and you're absolutely right. Bobby has worked so hard, but also the people behind him, the staff, that everybody down to the lady that cleans the bathrooms, they've all done so much for that racetrack.
Well, you know, Bobby Gill is a very unique person, although I've not known him a whole long time. He's about kids, he's about family, mm-hmm. and he's about racing. And, you know, that's what ultimately the track does, is not only allow everyone who has desire to show up and race, but he brings the family together and, you know, ultimately wants to involve the young, the youth in life, you know, to racing. And, you know, if the youth sees a desire to be involved, then that's what he does. And, you know, I told that man he needs a partner, and I'd like to be the one, because that's just how much I believe in him. I think the place has great potential. I'm excited about the lease expansion. You know, they've expanded his lease. I'm not sure how far, but
2013, I think.
Yeah, he got 5 more years on top of the 10 months he had, and I bet it's going to go way beyond that.
I believe it will, too. This is Gary with the Outlaw Street Stocks from Tampa, Florida. And I agree with you on the family. That's one of the main reasons why I've tricked, you know, we've taken Charlotte County Motorsports Park for the family and everything else. And what gives me the inspiration is my two little grandsons that love racing, that's 4 years old and 2 years old, go in the pits and watch their uncle and their grandfather race. And it's really intriguing to see them.
Well, and I'll tell you firsthand, you know, I took it up as a hobby back, I believe, in it was 97 or 98, and had good success up there at the racetrack. Never did really travel away, wander away, you know, it was a weekly deal. And, you know, if you get a week off, all you're wanting to do is work on that race car and not think about anywhere else. Now, eventually, as the kids get older and as the racer matures, you know, we did. We traveled around a little bit and everything. And, you know, we consider up there in Punta Gorda, Charlotte County Motorsports Park, home. You know, it's a neat place. And if you can drive that place, you can drive, you know, a lot of these other tracks that aren't as challenging. You know, it's a neat place all the way around. Like I said, Troy started, you know, riding go-karts at 4. He was able to win a championship up in Orlando, which is a national deal in a quarter midget. He raced up in Indianapolis, right on the Brickyard, and did real well. He finished 13th out of 500 and some odd cars, and he was 3 years into it at 10 years old. And, you know, one thing I do have to say about the past in Charlotte County was they introduced the four-cylinder front-wheel drive class, which now I believe is the Junkyard Dog. And, you know, we were able to move him into that here at home, and he did well, had great success, won everything. And he jumped from that four-cylinder front-wheel drive into a you know, 10-inch slick, 8-cylinder car, and, you know, hard-nosed, yeah, he is, but, you know, some of the things, he's in a learning curve right now, and, you know, he talks to me after the race and even on the radio during the race and tells me, well, Dad, I should have done this, or, you know, I'll tell him, hey, Troy, you should have, you know, backed up and checked up, you're faster, you know, be patient, and, you know, he's just going through the learning curve, and, yeah, the older guys might have a problem with it, but, you know, the working on the equipment, number one, having the ambition and energy to get in there and handle those cars through either 35 or 50 laps, whatever they're running, yeah, the kid's been good. And, you know, we expect to see him in the late model next year and, you know, hope to have the same success. The car's sitting there ready. We're just trying to get some laps under our belt. That's all.
Well, Danny, we're way over our time right now. We just had so much fun with everybody tonight. I'd like to do another show and have some of these kids on, which would, of course, would include Troy. We'll get back to him, promised. And well, thank you again so much for...
I apologize. You know, I had a trip out of town scheduled, and you know, we've been trying to... I'm out of town. I'm in North Carolina, actually, right now.
Right.
I've gone over to see Kevin and Josh Williams, actually. Josh, he racing the Legend cars up there against the big
son of Kevin Williams.
And, you know, Troy's back at home, and we planned on doing a two-way, and it didn't work out, and I sincerely apologize, and, you know, I would love for Troy to, you know, put in his 2 cents.
We'll do that. We're going to have him on very shortly. But thank you so much for everything, and wish you have a great year at Charlotte County Motorsports Park. And
yeah,
like
good
to
luck, and tell him to keep up that.
Who might be listening, or, you know, if this is recorded and goes on into the future, support the track. You've got a good promoter. The place is turning around every day. I've myself worked up there. My son's worked up there to try to help Bobby, you know, put things together and make it the place that it is, that it needs to be. And, you know, for the future, I just see nothing but good happening.
Well, thank you, Danny. We'd like to thank Gary. We want to thank everybody that came on the show tonight. Oh, we're not done yet. We're going
to
have more fun.
Hey, Danny, tell him to
more
keep up
fun?
That hard-nosed racing.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Tell him to keep up that hard-nosed racing. You know that's what makes you a real racer.
You know, we're trying to keep the bumper on the car in the front, and, you know, we had an issue with another car on the track a couple weeks ago, and actually that's part of the reason why we're not there is we had a mechanic failure. You know, sometimes mechanical failures will happen in weird ways. He will. He's going to keep running hard. We're hoping to, you know, try to get that black eye off. The black eye shouldn't be there to begin with. We're in a learning curve. We got a rookie going on out there that, you know, if he wouldn't have spotted the boys, you know, I think it was 4 or 5 races, I think he'd be like right up there in the top right now.
Well,
yeah,
let's
save
got plenty
some
of this.
Time. He got plenty of time to deal with that.
Yeah. And at this point, you know, as a rookie, we really weren't points racing. I think everybody will have their hands full with a good driver and a bunch of good equipment and, you know, ultimately a good place to go race.
Danny, let's save some of this for Troy.
To be able to, you know, speak to you guys.
We got to go. We're running late. We're going to save some of this for Troy, and thank you again for all you do, and have a great night and have fun up there in, where'd you say you were? North Carolina.
Carol, thank you for the invitation, and we'll look forward to it again.
Thank you so much. Have a nice night, Danny.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Well, Gary,
great show.
It's just us now.
It's just, you want to duke it out? Or
my fighting days are over.
You want to take it on the track? Yeah, well, I wanted to say hello to the listeners up there in Tampa, Florida, listening to the show. First time they listened to it, mainly the little 4-year-old Ryan. My little grand. He actually owns that 02 car.
Does he really?
Yes.
So I could talk to him about maybe wheeling it?
You can talk to him. I can remember when Jeff broke the axle on it, and he was talking to Jason at the racetrack, and he went up to Jason, and he says, I fired my driver. He's out of it. I want to thank you guys for allowing me to be on the show, and I look forward to coming back and talking with you again.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I had a good time on the show.
That's cool. You'll be back soon.
Yeah, I'll definitely come back. You guys call me. Let me know when you want me to come back. I want to tell everybody out there that is in the Punta Gorda, Port Charlotte, maybe southern Sarasota area, listen to 1580 AM, Tuesday mornings, 11 o'clock in the morning, right before Paul Harvey, to a show called The House Doctor, of which I'm the host of The House Doctor, where we go over all kinds of issues with your house, you know, problems that you might have. If you have insurance problems, maybe from Hurricane Charlie, need somebody to help you out with those, listen to the show, Tuesday mornings, 11 o'clock.
Are you as shy on that show as you were on this one?
I run things.
Carol, what do we have next week on this show?
Next week, we have got Dickie Anderson.
The King.
The King
of racing. And several years ago, I watched a little 14-year-old kid racing super late models against B.J. McLeod at DeSoto Speedway, and we are privileged to have Casey Smith join us next week. Tim Cordell, the magnificent wrecker driver, we'll talk about him next week.
And I remember when B.J. McLeod was 14.
So do I. This was the race that I met him and Casey Smith.
Yeah, so that's next Saturday, and or next Monday.
Monday.
I don't know where I got Saturday. And then the following Monday, Don Nerone.
Don Juan Nerone.
The self-proclaimed king of late model promotion.
The Godfather.
I thought John was the Godfather. You guys get me all mixed up.
Oh, no.
Well, John.
The Don is the Don.
Do you have music for that?
We should have some doom music.
We have all that stuff.
As a matter of fact, Don is going to be bringing his wife Sandy with him, and we're going to have a fun show, so we'd like to wish you all a safe, happy evening, and thank you, everybody.
How do you know we're going to have a fun show? You think we're going to have a fun show because
I'm going to be here.
Hey, that's going to be a tough show.
It's
going to
be tough, man. Don will wear you out.
That's okay. I can take it.
Whaley gets a load of me.
I'm telling you.
No tire irons.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Be safe. Don't drink and drive.
You're Smyrna Speedway. Wednesday.
Don't blow your hand off. You're really going to have it all. When you do the St. Pete Boogie, you're really going to have it all. Down the south side of town, yeah, in some hole in the wall. I got to do